एवं विश्वपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी हरशील प्रभुपाद की जय। हम त्रिला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की अनंतपुरी वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविंद श्यामकुंड राधाकुंड गिरी गोवर्धान की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुनामाई की तुलसी देवी की భక్తి దేవికి సామవేద భక్త వృందకి గౌర ప్రేమానంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ ది అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ ది అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ ది అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు శ్రీ గౌరణ ఆల్ గ్లోరీ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ నమామి శ్రీపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ బుధులేశ్వరి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వదేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే నిర్విశేషన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాఘయ చక్షురుమిలితాం తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః యమనోభీష్టం స్థాపితాం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాదే స్వపదాంబికం వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణరఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాదాన్ సహగణజనితాం శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ నమామి విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రసాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినిది నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవీ గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేషశూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశధారిణే నమామి విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రసాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి ఇది నామిని వర్షభానవీ దేవి దైదాయా కృపాబ్దయే కృష్ణ సంబంధ విజ్ఞానం దాయినీ ప్రభవే నమః మాధుర్యోజ్వల ప్రేమాధ్య శ్రీరూపానుగ భక్తిద శ్రీగౌరకరుణాశక్తి విగ్రహాయ నమోస్తుతే నమస్తే గౌరవాణి శ్రీమూర్తయే దీనతారిణి రూపానుగ విరుద్ధావా సిద్ధాంతద్వంద్వహారిణి నమో గౌరకిశోరాయ సాక్షాద్ వైరాగ్యమూర్తయే విప్రలంబరసాంబోధే పాదాంబుజాయే నమః నమో భక్తి వినోదాయ సచ్చిదానందనామిని గౌరశక్తిస్వరూపాయ రూపను గౌరాయతే గౌరావిర్భవభూమే స్వం నిర్దేష్టా సజ్జనప్రియ వైష్ణవా సర్వభౌమశ్రీ జగన్నాథాయతే నమః వాంచకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః నమో మహావదాన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరత్వషే నమః పంచతత్వాత్మకం కృష్ణం భక్తరూపస్వరూపకం భక్తావతారం భక్తాఖ్యం నమామి భక్తశాక్తియం హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగల్పదే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంద రాధాకాంద నమోస్తుతే జయదాం సురదౌభాంగో మమ మందమదేర్గది మత్సర్వస్వదాంబోజో రాధా మదనమోహనౌ దివ్యవృందారణ్యకల్పద్రుమాద శ్రీమన్రత్నాకర సింహాసనస్థౌ శ్రీమద్రాధా శైల గోవిందదేవో ప్రేష్టాలిభిః సేవ్యమానౌ స్మరామి ശ്രീമന് രാസരസാരംഭി വംശീ വടതടസ്ഥിത കർഷാൻ വേണുസ്വനേർഗോപിർ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്രീയേസ്തുനാഹ തപ്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗി രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ ജയ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാം രാമ രാമ ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ രാമ ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ രാമ ഹരേ ഹരേ So, in this universal form, we were discussing last Saturday about the important point that we always say like this, isn't it? That material world is conscious, we say. The material world is conscious. Actually, material world is in the consciousness. Consciousness is not in the material world. That's the way we have to, the proper understanding is like that. According to Krishna's words, I will come to that, how Krishna mentions that in the Bhagavad Gita. That Krishna is saying that bodham, which is very important, that our bodham or consciousness. Consciousness is what we are. Every moment from inside us, keeping us always aware of our own existence. That is that consciousness. Listen, our own existence. We do exist. That awareness, which cannot be taken away from us under any circumstances. In all three states of Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, under all conditions, what remains with us as our own is this awareness, which never leaves us under any circumstances. Krishna's point is, it is in this awareness this world also is existing. World is not separate. World exists in this awareness. Krishna calls that awareness as Brahman. That's all. Different words are used, but if you understand the principle behind which it's operating is that in the awareness, in the bodham, avabodham, the world exists. In that avabodham. Avabodham is the adhishthanam. Adhishthanam means the basis. The basis in which every creation exists is in this consciousness. That is the point. So, because you can see how is it justified. Look at this way. World is an experience for us, isn't it? If you don't experience this world doesn't exist for you. Prapancham, or in other words, this creation is an experience practically. Whether it exists or not, how do we know? Because we experience it. That is why we say that this world exists inside the experience. Experience is nothing but that awareness, bodham. It comes from the soul. It doesn't come from the mind. It doesn't come from the senses. It comes from the soul. Anubhavam. Anubhavam. So, here the point is, anubhavam or this experience, where does it stay? You have to ask the question, who is the person who is experiencing it? Who is the person experiencing it? Because this experience is only in one place. That is the place where the soul is present in the form of consciousness. That's where the experience is happening. The whole Vedantam is based on this principle. We'll discuss that a little bit more. Because in Vedam, Vedas are saying to us, personalism, impersonalism, everything you can leave it behind. That is another side of it. But most important thing, what Vedas are pointing out all the time to us, that it is in this experience, avabhodham, sandra ananda avabhodham, you'll see this word avabodham used very often in the Vedam, in the Upanishads, Puranas, everywhere. Avabodham. Avabodham means this anubhavam or this experience what we are having of our own existence and the existence of so much other things, creation, everything, that we are experiencing it because of this capacity to experience which comes from the soul or anubhavam. We also differentiated between pratiti and anubhavam, isn't it? Pratiti means, for example, if I see someone, that is pratiti. If I close my eyes, that person doesn't exist for me. That form doesn't exist, or even the person doesn't exist. I cannot experience that person when I close my eyes, or if I close my ears, or if I close my my nose, tongue, smell goes away. So the five senses gives you the pratiti or the perception of the world. The five senses gives the perception of the world. That is not experience. That is what that difference is. That is not experience. It only gives you a perception of the world. And that can be taken away from you if the senses are removed or the senses are blocked. The perception is gone. But experience is not like that. All the time with you, whether you like it or not, is with you all the time of your own existence, awareness of your own existence. And that is called anubhavam. One is called pratiti, other one is called anubhavam. So, just like if you take the example, suppose there is a lot of sound. If I have no ears, I can't hear the sound, isn't it? I can't hear the sound in the absence of the ears. In other words, it's pointing out to the fact that only with the help of the senses you can perceive something in this world, in this creation. And therefore, it is classified as pratiti. Pratiti it is, or in English I call it as perception. Let's call it as perception. That is not anubhavam. It is not experience. So similarly, all the senses, eyes to see, ears to hear, nose to smell, the skin to touch, sparsham it is called, and tongue to taste. Everything is based on senses operating. Without the operation of the senses, it cannot work. But my own existence, I don't need any of these senses. I'm 100% sure of my own existence, even in the absence of my senses. Say one of my senses don't function anymore, still there will not any reduction in my awareness of my existence, isn't it? I am 100% conscious of my own existence, awareness of that. Whether the eyes goes away, ears goes away, or the smell power, the power of the smell goes away, or taste goes away, irrespective of all that, there is no reduction in my awareness of my existence. Awareness of my existence. So, just like in this room, if there is light, I can see I can perceive the presence of so many people. But as long as there is the electricity or the lights are there, but once the light goes away, or if it is total darkness, I may not be aware of everyone who is present here. So, similarly, so this one thing in Upanishads, they take it very seriously. Which one? This awareness. Awareness is the whole thing. So, because that is the only one thing which I never lose at any time. I don't miss it, and I don't lose it also to any degree. Like your hearing power, you can reduce. Your eyesight, you can go, or it can come down. Similarly, the power of tasting food, that also you may lose sometime later, or it will reduce as you find that nothing is tasty, we say, when you get old. When you get old and you want desire to eat, but at the same time the power, the tongue is losing its power of taste, and then we complain about that. So what I'm saying is, all the senses, it can reduce its power in its ability to function. Or in other words, in pratiti, it can come down. But perception, it can come down. But the experience of or awareness of my own existence, that never comes down. Even if you cut a leg away or a hand away and take parts of my body away, still I will never say I am only 3/4 now or a calf existing now. I will never say like that. My body must have gone. But the awareness of my existence is never reduced, So the what we have to understand here is all these senses. So when you try and separate the body, parts of the body away from the parts of the body away, although physical level it is going away partly, it never has any influence on me as awareness. It is not a part of that. They are completely two independent things. This we have to know. I'll tell you why. The awareness of my existence, which is always complete, that completion is the purnatvam of the soul. Completeness of the soul. Soul is a whole thing. It is never, you cannot bring it down to any level where you can take away this completion from that. The nature of the soul is such that it's always complete. It's the beauty of the soul. That even if you cut my body part of it away, that completion, the complete nature, wholesome nature of the soul never gets reduced. And that awareness has no death either. Awareness never die either. That is, so if you, even if you try to get rid of this awareness from you, it is not possible, isn't it? Suppose you want to, by some means, you want to get rid of your own existence, your own awareness, that's not possible. Because even at the time of death, when the body is finishing, in your inside, your realization at that time is still that you are continuing to exist after that. This is the interesting thing. At no time you can take it away from you. And all the rishis, the sages, give a lot of importance to this. Why I'm saying this is, I think it is Max Muller who said this, that the sages or the rishis through whom Upanishads came out, why they were different from the modern thinkers, modern spiritual leaders and modern philosophers. There's a big difference. What is that difference? In the modern world, for quite a long time, your thoughts are influenced by the press, the media, what others think about you, and how you present yourself to this world, whether it's acceptable or not. All these things matter. In the Rishi's case, it didn't happen like that. They were a completely independent group of personalities who always totally thought completely independent. And therefore their realizations also, because it was not dependent on pleasing the public, or it was not dependent on the media, it was not dependent on the any other person, it came from there inside these revelations and realizations. And therefore, Max Muller says, they are the most pure form of thoughts in this world. He has certified about the Upanishads in that way. As the most purest form of thoughts in this world, completely unaffected by the world where they have revealed these things. So, that is why this statement, that no matter how much you cut off my body, hands, legs, or whatever parts of the body you remove it, my awareness of that completeness is never touched. It always remains complete. Nasato vidyate abhavaha. That is what it is proving. Krishna's statement in the second chapter, na asato vidyate bhavaha, na abhavo vidyate sadaha. That statement is perfect as far as the soul is concerned. It's only with the soul you can apply that statement directly. We must not, if you want to understand this statement of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, that verse, you have to connect it in this way. That everything what you are perceiving in this world, through the senses, through the mind, through the body, they are all perception and not experience. The only experience is that is coming from the soul. Therefore, the conclusion is that the what is coming from the soul is always complete and it can never be made
it can never be reduced, and it will always remain full in the same level, in the same degree. That is what Krishna is saying in that verse. Nasado vidyate bhava. Asat has no bhavam. What is asat here? Body, mind, senses, and intelligence. All these are asat. All of them has no bhavam. No bhavam. It has no reality. Krishna's point is that. It has no reality. We have to accept this. We have no other way. And you can't argue against this. Because Krishna is saying here, Tattva darshis have found out this in the very early days itself, and they have revealed this to us in the Upanishads. Asata has no bhavam. And similarly, na bha abhavo vidyate sataha. Sata has no abhavam. That is what it means. That verse, na sado vidyate bhava, na bhavo vidyate sada, ubhayoravi drishtvandam sanayor tattva darshibi, in the second chapter, means this. That the body you can cut off, take away pieces, senses can break up or fail, or mind can go, even intelligence can go away. Memory, everything can go. That all will go because it's all asat, Krishna is saying. The only thing in this whole package, what is true or what has got reality, as far as Krishna is concerned, is the sat inside. Sat. Sat is the soul. You see? Soul. So, we must not study this on like philosophically. That's the first mistake we are making. Most of the people, what do? They study theory and make it philosophical. We should not make it philosophical. It is the reality of life. That mind, intelligence, ego, senses, everything is asat, and it has to fail. It is not never complete in itself. Take for example anything. Body. Can you say the body is any time, can you call it as real? Because body is changing, all the time it's changing, isn't it? We have changed the body many times, even in this life. Scientists say that all the cells go after 7 years or something like that. Similarly, you can see how much the body changes over a period of 70, 80 years time. Similarly, the mind also. Can you say the mind doesn't change? It is more than the body actually. It'll tell you one thing today, it'll tell you something else tomorrow. And the day after tomorrow will tell you something different than both the days. Both of them are wrong, it will say. Like a monkey, it makes us to deal with it. Isn't it? Mind is like that. Is the intelligence any time stable? Never. Just like a child has one kind of intelligence. When you grow up, you have a different kind of intelligence. Your intelligence when you have grown up tells you that the childlike intelligence was all bogus. It was no head had no meaning. But even now, Krishna is saying your intelligence is not stable. It is subject to change again. After a lot of experience in this material world, your intelligence will change based on the experience. You will make some different conclusions from that. So, body is changing, mind is changing, intelligence is changing. False ego also changes. When everything is wonderful in this world, ego is very high. When we get a lot of hits from the material nature, then our ego also subdues at that time. So all these things, Krishna calls it as asat, is subject to change. Is subject to change. This should not be studied and understood on a philosophical level. That's the most important thing. It should be accepted in life. It should be accepted wholeheartedly because this is the most important statement from the Bhagavad Gita. Asat has no bhavam. Sat cannot have any abhavam. That's the principle. That means if you read that verse, what Krishna has spoken in the second chapter, if you read that translation, it will make it very clear what is Krishna says. What was the number? 16. Yeah. Nasato vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sada. Those who are seers of the truth have concluded that of the non-existent there is no endurance, and of the existent there is no cessation. These seers have concluded by studying the nature of both. Now, this truth, whether you are a personalist or impersonalist, doesn't change. Please don't bring impersonalism into it and get problems with that. Because Prabhupada himself says here, if you look into the first paragraph, if you go a few lines down, he says, This conclusion, you can see that line? This conclusion is established by all classes of seers of the truth, both impersonalist and personalist. Both impersonalist and personalist. This truth cannot change. Therefore, it should not be taken as a philosophical conclusion. Sometimes when we say something, people say, oh, that's all just philosophy. People say like that. They say, this is not philosophy. This is the very principle on which our existence is based on that verse. Our existence. Our whole identification with the body, mind, intelligence, ego. Krishna is telling us how foolish you are. How foolish we are, in other words. How foolish we are, that very, very fundamental thing itself, Krishna is saying, Nasado vidyade bhavaha. Sat has no abhavam. And asat has no bhavam. With that, Krishna says, all the great sages, the rishis, seers, they have already concluded this. He says, if you accept that, you have understood Bhagavad Gita. That's all it is. So Bhagavad Gita very summarized that is that verse. Because as far as Krishna is concerned, the soul is the only sat in this whole thing. But we won't accept that. That is the problem. We will still try to fiddle around with it, saying this and that and all kinds of things. But you can't be more straightforward than that, the way Krishna has put it there. So, nasato vidyade abhava. So, shariram, material body is asat. It has no bhavam. It has no bhavam. Krishna says, the body exists only if you touch it. Only if you touch it, the body exists. So, anything what you know through the senses, that is not real. Anything what is known through the senses is not real. Generally, our experience is in three different ways, isn't it? We experience them. One is the relative experience. For example, so many people I am seeing now, they are all sitting here and I can see them. And for temporarily, they are in my perception. They are there. That is a relative one. Secondly, mental. Mental means I have some memory in me now, some perception that I have my wife at home, son there, my mother there. All these are my mental perception. It's only in the mind it exists. I'm not directly experiencing them at the moment. But that can be there, that may not be there. Or they may have gone somewhere. I don't know where they are. But I have an impression inside me that they are existing. That's all. And the third one is the bhavana, imagination. This is only a bhavana. This imagination. In my imagination, they all exist somewhere. Third one is the actual experience, and that's only one thing. What is that? I am existing, my awareness. You can put all your existence into one of these three categories. Your own existence, number one, and the number two is in the mental platform, you have pictured so many people as your people or your people or your relationship with them in some form. It is gone deeply inside. I believe it's my mother, my brother, my son, my wife, in some form, those identities are in me, embedded inside. And other one, I'm directly perceiving in my eyes, through eyes or through the senses. So, Krishna is saying, out of these three, which means the relative plane and the mental plane and on the actual experience, only, Krishna says here, only that direct experience, what you are experiencing, is only the truth. Everything else is Maya. It's a very bold statement from Krishna in the 11th canto. Very bold statement. Krishna is saying, only that thing, what you are experiencing now here, experiencing, not perceiving, what you are experiencing here, that is the only truth. Everything else is Maya, Krishna says. So, Maya exists, and it is the most perfect definition of Maya. Because except this awareness I have that I am existing, if you take that out, remaining everything else is Maya. Everything else is Maya. And because it is Maya, you cannot create any Siddhantam or any Tattvam about that, about this Maya. So the, it is for this reason only that all the Siddhantam, what the science comes up with, is broken one time or the other. One time or the other. Because Maya controls this Asat. Maya and Asat are not separable. They are together always. And Maya will change everything. That is the very nature of Maya. Krishna's point is, except the Sat inside, the soul, which is the only truth, because it is that is experienced by you, direct experience of your own awareness of your own existence, and that is the only reality and truth. Krishna says, if you take that away, everything else what exists is Maya. Everything else what exists is Maya. So, you can see, this is why even in the field of science, many times some scientists have come up with some theory, and later on another scientist has come and said that that theory is not anymore acceptable. They will put that in the bin and they'll bring another theory at that time. It is because of this interference of Maya. Interference of Maya. So, because as what Krishna is saying here, except the soul, there is no other thing where you can create a Siddhantam. Siddhantam means, how do we translate Siddhantam? Siddhantam means a principle on which you can say eternally it is the truth. Only in relationship with the soul you can have a Siddhantam. You can't have a Siddhantam with anything else, because if it is changing, Siddhantam won't stay. Siddhantam will crumble down. It will not stay. So, continuously changing, that is the very nature of Maya. And Maya will not surrender to logic. She will continuously present this magic in front of us. With everything. With the whole creation. She will continuously present a magic in front of us. So, therefore people who are in knowledge, they say that the only vastu, Bhagavadam uses the word vastu. If you look into Bhagavadam, you will see a word vastu used in many places. Why is it called vastu? That word itself is very specific. Vastu means what is vastavam. Vastavam means what is genuine and what is real. Dharma projjita kaida votra paramo nirmal saranam satam vedyam vastavam. Atra vastu shivadam, vastavam, atra vastu shivadam. That vastu which is vastavam is shivadam. Shivadam means soul. It is soul. So, vastavam vastu shivadam. Dharma projjita kaida votra paramo nirmatsaranam satam vedyam. Nirmatsaranam satam vedyam. People who are not infected with Maya, they enjoy, relish this substance, vastu. Nirmatsaranam satam vedyam vastavam, which is vastavam, which is the only truth. Vastu, atra vastu shivadam, that vastu is the soul. So the principle is, first thing is to find out what that vastu is. And after finding that vastu, we have to release everything else. All other, grip on all other things, particularly the Maya. That is why it says, that once you have realized the self, prarabdhaya samarpitam nijavabu khesham manishi mama. There is a statement in the Manisha Panchakam. Manisha Panchakam is 5 verses written about the soul in one instance. And it mentions there in Manisha Panchakam says that Shashvannashwarameva vishwamakhilam nishchityavacha guroho nityam brahma nirandaram mimrshadam nurvyaja shandalmanam budam bhavija dushkritam pradahadam samvinmaye pavage prarabdhaya samarpitam sovapu ityesha manisha mamam. Manisha Panchakam is 5 verses written on the our identity, what we are in our pure state. Shashvalmashwaram eva vishwamakhilam
nishchityavacha guroho,
that nashwaram eva makhilam, that shashwal nashwaram eva makhilam, everything what you perceive is not true. What you through the perception, what you are seeing here, what you are tasting or what you are hearing is not true. Nishchityavacha guroho, that you have already confirmed. Shastram says it's already confirmed. Nityam brahma nirandaram imrshadam nurvyaja shandalmanaham. That the soul who is always independent, never in, although he is, in him all these things exist, under no circumstances he is influenced by any of them. That is the beauty of the soul. This is very, very important. Those who find it, this is all a part of the Atmavijaram. How you do Atmavijaram? People always ask that question. He's saying, how do you reflect on the soul? Soul is a very abstract thing, and many people think that it is very inaccessible. But it is not inaccessible in the sense that if you are moving forward in that direction, you will get an experience of how to understand the soul. Soul may not have a form as it is in front of us, but presence of the soul is to be understood and is to be experienced by various means what Shastram is talking to us. If someone is finding it difficult to do Atmavicharam, Atmadhyanam or Brahmadhyanam, Brahmavicharam, these are all different words used in the Shastram, how to reflect on the soul, the easiest method is to stay in the Salsangam and to keep hearing that. After hearing for a while, that nature will develop inside, how to do the Atmavicharam. There is no other shortcut. When you go through the Bhagavad Gita, you will see from different angles Krishna is approaching the soul. Krishna tells you what are the problems in studying about the soul. Krishna will tell you what actually holds you back in realizing the truth. Because soul is what we are after, to realize the truth, what is the only truth as Krishna is concerned. Krishna is telling us the only truth is the soul. And if we can't have any relationship with the soul or some realization of the soul, whole exercise is a waste of time. It's a waste of time. It's no point in studying theoretically everything and then keeping it in the mind. But some experience of this presence of the soul and our relationship with that soul, what we are, cannot be written off. It has to stay. So here, prarabdhaya samarpidam sovapu iti esha manisha mama. Ajahn Swamiji is saying there, when prarabdham is over, he says, a realized person knows, I have to hand over this body back to my material nature who has given it to me. That is how he lives in this body. So fine concept that when you are in the process of self-realization, this consciousness must develop inside. That means even while living in this world, in this body, every moment we have to be very conscious that one day material nature will take this body away from me. I have to hand it over and go back from here. Go away from here. Only then I will accept that I am not this body. Up to that point, because material nature, what it does is, whole life, it's beating us every day in one way or the other, isn't it? What through what? Birth, death, old age and disease. These four things, material nature is constantly smashing us in different ways. What for? Why does material nature, does she get anything from that? No, there is a reason behind it. The reason is, by continuously hitting us this way, we'll become little bit more sensible. That ego inside will quietly go away from us. That is the purpose behind it. The such strong ego all of us have in their head about myself, so confident and so sure about ourselves. But material nature is telling us that, look, I have given you this body, keep it with you and I'll keep smashing you with that. With that very body, because you remember Krishna says that in the 14th chapter, in the 11th canto, he says, Shariram, what does it do? It constantly frightens you from beginning to end. That's what it does, isn't it? Frightens you, giving you all kinds of problems. And then always you are on the lookout. Is it going to go? Is it on its way out? Is it on its way out? That's it. This fear constantly in us, Krishna has put us in through the material nature. Material nature does that. So when realization comes, when you are moving away from the body, the relationship with the body also changes. Our relationship with the body changes. our own body, which we are trying to protect, knowing very well that it's going to go, your attachment and care for the body will go. Not to the extent as you are thinking that it's you, that body, and protecting it. Because that's what he says here. Prarabdhaya samarpidam sovapu. Sovapu means your own body. Prarabdhaya samarpidam. It is only due to my prarabdha karmam, I have this body, and when that prarabdham is over, I have to hand this back. And ityesha manisha mama. That is my realization. He says there. Bhudam bhavija duskridam pradakada samvinmaye pavake. That bhudam bhavija duskridam pradakada. That many sinful activities I must have performed. Otherwise, why I was given a body? Body is a punishment actually. We misunderstand about this body. This body is a punishment. Why? Bhudam bhavija duskridam. Sometimes pastoral sinful activities must have been done. The result of that is this body. Bhudam bhavija duskridam pradakadam samvinmaye pavake. And at the end, where is it going to? To the fire. It's going to the samvinmaye pavake. Into the fire, it goes and dissolves itself in that fire. The thing, look at the illusion what we have. The thing what we think it is so real, and for which we spend all our time by feeding, clothing, sheltering, in different ways protecting this body. One day, we hand it over and others come, put it in a box and put it into the furnace and it's gone. This is how real it is. This is how real it is. So, Bhudam Bhavya. So, what Krishna is saying here, realize the self, what you are, hand over this body and go from here. That is the message. That is the message. Krishna's point is that take this self, realize the self and find out what you are, hand over this body to the material nature and leave your grip on this body. It's a grip at the moment, what we have on this body, isn't it? Therefore, Krishna says, never insist on anything in this world. So, because why? Because it is no point in insisting on anything. One time people said the world is flat. And then one day another person came and said that the world is not flat, world is round, he says. So, and the person who said that it is round, they gave him poison and killed him. Isn't it? You know that? That I think it was Galilee, isn't it? Yeah. So he was, because he said that the world is round, they said, everybody turned against him for saying that. And they killed him and threw him away. So, it is possible that something else can happen again. It's not that it is always going to be like that. Science may tell us one day, no, it's not like that, it's again flat, they can say to us. So, just like, there are so many things goes on. You remember, a couple of years ago, there was this big hype about climate change. In this world, isn't it? Big meetings in so many places. They were meeting, ministers were running and they were telling all the countries you should cut your carbon thing and all kinds of things they were saying. But a lot of them have started thinking now, is this all true? Is this in our control, all this climate change? What control have we got over all these things? Huh? So the same scientists, and they've all forgotten. And they've gone. The people who were organizing all these meetings, they lost the election, they left. And they've gone away. And so many, and everybody has forgotten that now. Now next time when it will happen, you don't know. So this, whether the boom is flat, sorry, the earth is flat or round, all these things, they'll say one morning, they'll say one thing, and they can say anything tomorrow. So because the reason for that, except the soul, everything else is relative in this world. Apekshikam. Except the soul, everything else is relative. It will continuously change. So, so just like in children's storybooks, they will write some nice stories to make the children, to humor them. So there are many things they are not, in our experience it's not true, but children like to read it. It may not be true, but they will enjoy it. They only want story, that's all. They won't check the reality of it. Like the way we will check, we will say, oh, it's all some imaginary story. But children won't think like that. When they read the storybook, they enjoy it. Similarly, that's all, you can't give more reality to any of these things in this world. So if you don't give that reality to any of these things in this world, you won't feel distress in this world. So temporarily you may see that certain things are real in this world. Actually, in ultimate analysis, none of them is real. None of them is real. Except, Krishna is saying here, except the soul, Krishna uses the word anrutam. Anrutam. Anrutam means lie. Anrutam means truth. Anrutam means lie. So, it's not Krishna is saying here, it is in the Bhagavatam. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, these Yadavas who are in front of you now, and even this form right in front of you, which is standing in front of you, even this Mahabharata war, everything is a lie, he says. Everything is a lie. So, never believe in any of these things, he says to him. Because it is lie. It is a lie. Wherever there is duality, once you are separated from the truth, it's a lie. Straight away it is a lie. The truth is one. That is what in that statement Bhagavatam very nicely puts it in the beginning. Vadandi tattvavidam tattvam yajnanam advayam. Advayam means where there is no two. There is no two, one only. And that is the soul. The moment you separate out anything from that, it is a lie. That is the principle. Tattvam yajnanam advayam. That tattvam is jnanam, knowledge, and it is advayam. That's the way you have to understand that verse. Vadandi dat tattvavidam. Vadandi says, who tattvavid. Vadandi dat tattvavidam. Tattvavid says about the tattvam. Yel tat tattvam, yel jnanam. That tattvam is knowledge. And it is advayam. It is not two, it is one. Why? Because as soon as you separate, that is why Krishna mentions in this, if you look into the 11th canto, there is a verse there, very direct statement from Krishna in the 28th chapter. In the 28th chapter, if you look, you will see Krishna says there, Kim, in the fourth verse, absolute truth. Krishna is discussing absolute truth. 28th chapter, 4th verse. Kim badram kim abadram va. Kim badram kim abadram va. Dvaidasyal vastu na kiyan. Vajodidam tadamrdam. Manasadhyadame vava. Krishna is saying, kim badram kim abadram va. Dvaidasyal vastu na kiyal. That if you... Dvaidasyal vastu na kiyan. As soon as any dvaidavastu comes, dvaidavastu means from the soul something has come out and you are treating that separately from the soul. Just like this world, this body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything you are, it has come from the soul, no doubt. But what has happened is when it has separated from the soul, it has got a separate identity. Separate identity. Krishna is saying here, kim badram kim abhadram va dvaidasya vastu na kiyat. This dvaida vastu, what is badram, what is abhadram in that? Badram means what is auspicious about it. It is all inauspicious anyway. Because it has fallen away from the truth. Vastu na kiyal vajodidam ta anurdam manasodhyadam eva. Whatever you speak about that and glorify to any extent, vajodidam, with your words, you speak about that, tad anurdam, it's all lie, he says. Why? Because it's come from the mind. Once it has fallen away from the truth, it is in the circle of Maya. It is in the circle of Maya. And because it is in the circle of Maya, vajodidam tad anurdam manasodhyadam evava. You are, then your mind is start functioning with that particular object. And therefore, it is not truth. This is Krishna's statement in the Bhagavatam. And this he is saying to Uddhava at the very last point when he is departing from this world. Kim badram kim abadram va dvaidasya vastuna kiyal vajodidam tad anurdam manasodhyadam eva va. Whatever you are talking with your mind, based on your mind or based on your words, whatever you have spoken, it's all lie, Krishna is saying to us. So now, this will obviously, when we study this, if you say something with your mouth, it's lie. It's a lie. If you imagine something with your mind, it's a lie. Krishna is saying there. Then what is truth then? The truth is only truth is the soul. Only truth is the soul. So that is why Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya statement has come from that. Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya. Brahmam alone is the truth. Soul is the only truth. Everything else is comes and goes. Comes and goes. Isn't it? It comes and goes. So here, to bring this consciousness, understanding to Arjuna, Krishna has, and to make aware of Arjuna, this truth, and to create that detachment in Arjuna's heart, Krishna has shown this universal form. This is all behind it. Uddhava didn't need a universal form, because Uddhava was pure enough, he could accept the message straight away, without any further discussion about it. But Arjuna's case, universal form was shown to him to bring this understanding to him. Kim badram kim abadram va dvaidasya vastuna kiyal vajodidam tan anrudam manasodhyadam eva va. Your Arjuna is standing there and giving big lectures to Krishna. Isn't it? That's how the whole thing started. Standing there, all my relatives and all my friends and my teachers and my women will all become completely without husbands, and children will be without parents and all. If you read the statement from Arjuna in the beginning, the first chapter, you will see Arjuna, and everybody says Arjuna is a real gentleman. See how much feeling he has got. Krishna has no such consideration. Krishna will just speak the truth. That's all, nothing else. So he says to Arjuna that Arjuna, he has spoken first 10 chapters is all about the truth only. It's not under subject to time and space. That also you have to take notice of. We mentioned that last Saturday also. That first 10 chapters in the Bhagavad Gita is not under time and space. Everything is spoken pointing to the truth. But when it came to the 11th chapter, Krishna has changed a little bit. Here it is Swabhavam that is discussed. Whereas up to the 10th chapter, it is the Swarupam that is spoken about. Swarupam means our pure identity. Swabhavam means our nature, which is with us, which continuously change. Swarupam doesn't change because Swarupam is Sat. Swabhavam changes because it is Asat. That is the reason. So here also you can see, though, now this is not the only place where you find this happening. Krishna uses different processes to teach different devotees different ways, these things. In Srimad Bhagavatam, you had read this chapter that is in the story of the fish incarnation. If you study that chapter, you will understand how King Satyavrata, he was the king who was, he went to Kritamara river once, and he, in the morning, he wanted to perform ablutions. So he took some water in the hand, and in the water, there was a very small fish in that water. So, with the living entity, you can't perform, with the living entity in the water, you can't perform the ablutions. So, what he did, he put the small fish into the water again. So, this fish started saying to the king, why are you leaving me like this? The fish started speaking to him. So, when the fish started speaking, which is quite unusual, isn't it? A fish speaking like that. So don't put me into this river, because you know we belong to the aquatics, and aquatics, the big fish will come and eat me. Would you like that happen? He says to the king. So the king felt compassion for this little one and took it again and put him in his water pot, which he has brought with him. This is in the Kalmala river, all this is happening. So after a while he looked, the fish has grown big inside that small pot. And from inside the pot, he is speaking to the king, why have you let me here like this in this pot? There is no space for me to lie here, he says. So you read this in the Bhagavatam, and naturally people will ask a question. Isn't it? This seems to be far out story. People will have a doubt. You can't question that. That's natural it is, isn't it? So then what happened with the fish? Fish says, don't leave me like this. I've taken your shelter, he says. So the king says, all right, I'll take you into a bigger place. And he takes the fish from there and puts it in a bigger tank of water, like a well or something like that. Within a short time, the fish grows again and it becomes much bigger. And then, again speaking from there, my dear king, why have you left me here like this? You give me some better place. I can't swim here. It's not enough space. So he takes him from the well and puts him in a big lake, a lake thing. He puts a thing in the lake. He, up to all this time, king has not spoken to the fish. He was just doing what the fish was telling him to do. When it fell into the big tank, again he became big in the tank. He was the size of the whole lake size. Again he is speaking to the king that why this is not enough for me. I don't have enough space. I need some. So he holds the fish and walks to the sea to put him in the sea. It's in the Bhagavatam. You can read that. So he goes and puts him there. So Jinma meenam natosmi. At the end of that chapter, you will see Jinma meenam. He says that the useless word is Jinma meenam. Jinma meenam, meenam means fish. Meen is fish. Jinma meenam means who has dressed up like a human being and talking. He says, I pay my obeisances to you, to Krishna, he says, Satyavrata says there, Jinma meenam natosmi. Who has taken this fish form, I pay my obeisances to him. And only at that point, Satyavrata king, King Satyavrata, he said that his actual name is Shraddhadeva. Shraddhadeva. Why has he given this Satyavrata name? Because why is he Satyavrata? Satyavrata means one who is fixed on the Satyam, on the truth. In other words, one who is endeavoring for realizing the truth. Everyone who is endeavoring for realizing the truth is Satyavrata. He is Satyavrata. One who has taken that vow that I want to realize the truth in my life, he is Satyavrata. In the Bhagavatam, you will see when Brahma first came with the demigods and when they saw Krishna in the prison house, the first words that came from them was Satyavratam Satyavaram Trisatyam Satyasya Satyam Nihidanja Satye Satyasya Satyam Hrada Satya Netram Satyalmagam Tvam Sharanam Pravanaha Satyam 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 Satyam. As far as Brahma is concerned, the only Satyam is Atma or Krishna or the soul. Everything else is not Satyam. That is why the prayer itself begins with this word Satyam, Satyam, Satyam. Addressing Krishna, you are that Satyam. You are that soul. You are that Brahman. You are that one who is present in everyone and everything is going on in this creation because you are there inside everybody. That is the Satyam. That Satyam, he keeps on pointing out here. So, so this fish has done a magic in front of that Satyavratam king. And when he got there to the sea, to the ocean, the king is saying to the fish that I think that you are not a fish. You are somebody else, he says to him. So, but you have come with some purpose to instruct me about the truth. I guess so. Because then the fish tells him, from now onwards, within 7 days' time, the whole land will be taken over by the sea, and there will be a boat will come, and in that boat, there will be great sages will be there, and for the next day of Lord Brahma, Kalpam, the day, Brahma, day of Lord Brahma is over, and in that boat, I have kept the seeds for all the trees and plants and everything. The seeds are there. And when you should jump into that boat, the fish is telling King Satyavrata, stay in that boat and I will come as a fish again in that water. So when I come, the fish has got its, what do they call it, whisker-like thing, isn't it? It comes out. You tie your boat onto that. And I will travel in the water with that boat. You can sit in that boat. And when you sit in that boat, I will instruct you on the spiritual truth. It says like that in the Bhagavatam. So, and the way he says there, the fish is saying to Satyavrata, the way I will reveal the truth to you is that when you are going along with me in the water, from inside you, the truth will start coming out. From inside you, I'll start instructing you. So it is because of that, that particular chapter, we should study very well if we want to understand the Guru principle. Guru principle comes from that. It is the principle of the Guru. Guru is non-different from Krishna. Guru is non-different from Krishna. Krishna present inside us. He takes away our attention in this world, pulls inwards. Guru, Krishna manifests outside as Guru and pushes our attention inwards. From outside he pushes as Guru. From inside Krishna present, he pulls inwards our attention. So, similarly, seventh day, water came like that and there was a devastation. There was a devastation. The fish came, the boat came, the king Satyavrata got into it. Here, Sridhara Swami asks a question there. Sridhara Swami asks a question about that. What does he say? He gives a question and he gives the answer as well. Sridharajari Swamiji says like this, Na gobi vastava pralayaha. This pralayam, this devastation is not a real one, he says. It's not a real one. Because actually if proper devastation comes, there cannot be any fish. They will also die. There cannot be any human species. They should also die. And then where is the question of having any boat there in the devastation, he says. Proper devastation happens. Nothing can exist. Everything has to go. Isn't it? You know, when they do the closing down sale of the shop, they'll say, everything must go. Similarly, everything should go. That is actually pralaya means, devastation means that. Everything must go. So something like that. Krishna is saying like this. Sridhara Swami is saying, everything must go. But here he says, I don't see anybody going. Fish king is there, the fish is there, the boat is there, and everything seems to be normal. So this is not a proper devastation. Although in the Bhagavatam, it says it's a devastation. It's a devastation. Because all of them are jadam. These all jags are jadabadartham. Jada means it's a matter, isn't it? It's a dead matter. So it is not a proper Satyavrasira Jarshair Rajarshehe Vairagyartham Tasmat Pralayamiva Darshayamasa. That is Sridhara Swami's words. He says here, Satyavradasi Rajarshe, this Rajarshi king, Satyavrata, for Vairagyartham, to bring Vairagyam into him, this Tasma, therefore, Pralayamiva Darshayamasa. He experienced there is a devastation. He experienced there was no real devastation. All this was his experience. Just like universal form is Arjuna's experience at that time. It's not there was a universal form standing there and making Arjuna, but Arjuna is experiencing it. Why? Because Arjuna, if he hasn't seen the universal form, his mind won't change. He won't change his understanding. In order to educate Arjuna, Krishna had to show the universal form. Just like here, this devastation was shown to Satyavrata to educate him, to make him aware that otherwise Satyavrata won't take it. Satyavrata could not take it. So because this is the Shraddhadeva or Vivasudamanu, Shraddhadeva becomes a Vivasudamanu, isn't it? And from him comes Vaivasvada Manus, comes the next Manundram, he comes as the Manu, Vaivasvan. He comes as Vaivasvan, Vaivasvada Manu. So it is the same principle. We have put our attention now on so many things in this world. Our attachment and attention is on so many things in this world. But one day if you see that it's all going to go, all going to get destroyed. Children, family, house, bank balance, car, whatever we think is all seriously, we're taking very seriously now. One day it's going to go all from right in front of you, it's disappearing one after the other. What will happen? So then we will accept, this is all not true. Only then we'll accept it when it goes, isn't it? Till that time we will still try to tinker with it and keep it going somehow. So when we are in that kind of state of consciousness, something drastically has to be done. Otherwise, it is not going to happen. Just like in the case of Arjuna, universal form was necessary. In the case of Satyavrata Maharshi, King Satyavrata, this devastation was necessary. So, if that happens, only at that time we will look for the truth. What is vastavam then? What is truth in all these things? That has to happen. Otherwise, it won't happen. So, so only for that purpose, it was like a magic Krishna did to Satyavrata, King Satyavrata. So, for Satyavrata, Krishna showed a devastation. For Arjuna, Krishna showed a universal form. For us, Krishna gives now and then a little fear, frighten. One day suddenly we get a serious illness in the body. You get frightened, isn't it? You become a little conscious of it. It can go. You can start realizing that. Say sudden illness comes. A serious illness comes and it hits you. Say suddenly you are stuck at home. You can't go out anymore and can't do anything freely. The body gives you so many troubles from inside. So Krishna frightens us in this way. Exactly like the way he did to Satyavrata and he did to Arjuna. For us, he gives a small dose first and then looks at us, what the reaction is. if we still think that we are not going to accept it, he'll give a little heavier dose. Then he has to apply that because that's the way material nature works in this world. So it happened in various ways. Sometimes illness, serious illness. Something comes, you become restricted, heavily restricted, and dependent on many others for your life in this world. It's not a very pleasant situation at that time that you have to have the help of, no matter how glorified NHS is, how glorified the care services are, nobody wants it in their life. Nobody wants to be dependent on others. You want to have the freedom to move around. You want to have a healthy body. But Krishna will sometimes throw something on us. When Shastram says, when he is merciful to you, he does that to make you more Krishna conscious. That's the only way it will work, because it won't work otherwise. And then what else happens? So somebody who are very close to you, he'll take them away from you. Yasyaham anugrihnami harishe tadhanam shane tado janam tyajam dyasya swajanal dukkha dukkhidaha. Bhagavadam says like that in two places. One, in the case of Mahabali's case, when Mahabali was losing everything, he also sings the same song. And later on, in the chapter with the, you will see at the very end of 10th canto, there again this verse comes. Yasyaham anugrihnami. Whenever Krishna wants to give something to someone, wants to make him conscious of the truth, what he does is, harishyeta dhanam shanehi. Takes away all his wealth first. And then what will happen? Tado dhanam tejan dyasya. When you have lost all the wealth, all your so-called social life, family, all will finish with that very moment. Tado janam tejan dyasya swajanal. We were thinking swajanam, swajanam. Oh, my relatives, my brother, my sister, my in-laws, my that law, this law, eridan, whatever law you can talk about. They will all say goodbye. They'll go their way. Tado dhanam tejan dyasya swajanal dukkha dukkhidaha. He'll become fall into severe distress at that time. So this can happen. Relatives will let you go. They will leave you and go. And all the objects what you are considering, your wealth, everything can go, isn't it? Many examples, experiences we had in this world, how this so-called wealth, what we think is wealth, property prices and crash. Sometimes people keep on calculating 5% every year, say it's going up. And they take great pleasure in that. And suddenly there is a drop of 30% down. So this 5%, 5 years he was on dreaming that it's going up every year 5%. Then suddenly 30% drop. And it crashes in London, it crashes everywhere. And people start thinking, oh, what's this? I dependent on this property prices. That's gone. Then the money what you kept in the bank, the inflation is so high, interest rates are so low, then you start thinking, what's going to happen to this money? Let me have a good holiday. Please let me. This is how people are driven. You can see how people's mind works, isn't it? At least let me have a good holiday before the whole thing is gone. So this is another way. So wealth is such a thing. Sometimes properties are or land is wealth. Sometimes stocks and shares are wealth. And suddenly there's a big crash in New York or London, the whole thing goes in one lot. And then people start jumping through the window like the Japanese did and all that. And finish life. There's no hope in life anymore. For them, there is no hope. Because all the faith was on this asat called the shares and stocks. They kept it. So Krishna, what this does is that, so all these things Krishna does in this world to make us conscious. To make us conscious. Krishna is saying, don't look outside, look inside. That is the very basic principle. Don't look outside, look inside. Because everything what you see outside is a devastation. It's another form of devastation. All these things, what Bhagavatam is talking to us, and all these experiences in this world, is only to take the attention inwards and to surrender to Krishna. Tameva sharanam gacha sarvabhavena bharada yatprasadat param shantim sthanam prapsasi shashvatam. That is where surrender should be, should happen. So this is a kind of, so what has happened here is that the king, when he became sensible, after all seeing all these devastations, the king became very sensible. And there is, in Srimad Bhagavatam, the most elegant discussion about the Guru principle comes from that king, Satyavrata, in the Bhagavatam. We'll look at that verses now. It is in the 8th canto, 24th chapter. You see, in this 8th canto, this fish incarnation, there's only one chapter. You may have noticed that. There's only one chapter, the fish incarnation, Matsyavataram. That Matsyavataram is the last chapter of the 8th canto. It's the last chapter of the 8th canto. If you observe carefully, if you study 8th canto properly, you will see there's more Upanishads in the 8th canto than any other canto. Of course, in the 11th canto, it is instructions, the knowledge. But if you look at the Bhagavatam as a connection, relationship with the other Vedic literature, in the 8th canto, is most of the Upanishads principles have come very strongly. In fact, in the beginning itself, it begins with Ishopanishad, if you remember. I mentioned this at that time also. The whole 8th canto begins with the Ishopanishad verse itself. So this 8th canto, the beauty of this 8th canto is its Upanishads coming the verses from Upanishads are taken into this 8th canto a lot. You will notice there in the 8th canto begins, the first chapter itself, that the Manur Vaja, Swayambhu Manu is saying to the king, Yena Chedayade Vishwam Vishwam Chedayade Nayam Yo Jagartishaya Enasmin Innayam Dam Veda Vedasa Alpa Vasavidam Vishwam Yal Kinja Jagatyam Jagat Tena Tektu Ene Bunjida Magrada Kasusil Dhanam. This verse is Upanishad verse. It is from the Ishopanishad that verse has come here. Alpa Vasavidam Vishwam Yal Kinja Jagatyam Jagat Tena tektuena bunchida magrada kasusildhanam. Yamna pashyadi pashyandam chakshur yasya narishyadi tam bhuda nilayam devam suparnam upadavatham. Na yasya adhyando madhyamja soparona andarambihi vishwasyal muni yasdyasmal vishwamja tadadam mahan. Sa vishwakaya puriha udaimisha satya swayam jodiraja puranaha datesya janmardajaya almashaktya tam vidyayodasa nirihamaste. Atha grehrishaya karman ihande karmahedave ihamano hivirusha prayoni ham prabadhyad. It goes like that. Tamihamanam nirahangradam budham nirashisham purnam ananya chodidam aunjakshayandam nijavarma samsidam prabhum pravadhyegila dharma bhavanam. So all those verses are taken from the Upanishads, from different Upanishads background. So here in this 24th chapter, in the 8th canto, when you have time, have a look at that chapter. And you will see in one chapter, this Matsyavatara story or this fish incarnation was discussed. And in that discussion, first thing Krishna did to took this fish form and made the king to become little inward inward-looking nature brought to him by showing that devastation to him. He experienced that devastation. And King started thinking at that time. First he didn't understand what was going on when the fish came. And when the fish started speaking and it started growing its size, King also started becoming a little bit perplexed about it. And then finally, the fish told him that on the seventh day there will be a devastation. And at that time, the whole planet will be filled with water, but you won't be flooded. You will be okay. You're covered. You can sit in that boat. A boat will come. The rishis will be there, and all the aushadhi will be there. Aushadhi means all the seeds for the after the pralayam. Again, creation has to happen for that. So you jump into the boat, and I will instruct you at that time. You tie your boat to me, and I will move around in this water with the boat. You can sit in that boat and listen from me. I will instruct you about the truth, he says. Saying that, the fish disappeared. And as spoken, it all happens in seconds, very soon. Seventh day happened immediately. And the whole place is filled with water. And the king is going inside this water and seeing the boat coming, jumps into the boat and starts listening. So, after these verses, you will see here, Parikshit asked him, I want to hear about that fish incarnation, he said. Bhagavan Shodham Ichami Hare Albuda Karmanam. It is an amazing story, this fish incarnation, isn't it? Like every other incarnation. It's also an amazing story. So when he heard that, Parikshit wanted to hear more about that. But still, Sudeva Goswami didn't go explaining that to a very in an elaborate way. He kept it into one chapter. And in that chapter, he completely brought it down to a few verses to say what has happened. But as soon as he got the opportunity, he wanted the realization of the king, of the spiritual truth, to come from him. And he started talking that from the verse 46 onwards. From the 46. They are the most important verses in that chapter. From verse 46 right up to verse 53. 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53. These verses were spoken by the king after Krishna instructed him about the principle of the spiritual master. That's why it's important. What is spiritual master? How does he work? At the moment, what do we think about spiritual master? Is another person who has come, who is somewhere else, and I met him sometime, he initiated me and he has gone. I have not seen him since then. Or things like that we will say about him. Isn't it? This is all in our mundane level. We analyze it, things like that. But that is not the principle of spiritual master. If you want to understand the proper principle of spiritual master, these are the verses properly to understand. So, the king talks about it. What does he say? അനാദ്യ വിദ്യോപഹദാത്മസംവിധം തന്മൂല സംസാര പരിശ്രമാതുര എതിർച്ചയേഹോപസൃതായ മാപ്നുയർ വിമുക്തിദോ ന പരമോ ഗുരുർഭവാൻ. എവ്രി സിംഗിൾ വേർഡ്സ് ഇഫ് യു ലുക്ക് ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് യു വിൽ സീ ദ വേർഡ് ഗുരു ഇസ് മെൻഷൻഡ് ഗിവിംഗ് ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻസ് ടു ഗുരു ദയർ എതിർച്ചയേഹോപസൃതായ മാപ്നുയർ വിമുക്തിദോ ന പരമോ ഗുരുർഭവാൻ. പരമഗുരു ഈസ് യു. ഹു? കൃഷ്ണൻ. Krishna is the Paramaguru. Then, Jano Budoyam Naja Karma Bandhanam Sukhechaya Karma Samihade Sukham Asukham Yel Sevayatam Vidhunodi Sanmadim Grandim Sa Bindhyad Hridayam Sa No Guruhu Yel Sevayagneri Varudra Rodhanam Puman Vijakhyan Malamal Manastama Bajeda Varnam Nijamesha Sovyayo Bhuyat Sa Isha Paramo Gurur Guru. നയത് പ്രസാദായുധഭാഗലേശ അന്യേച ദേവാ ഗുരവോ ജനസ്വയം കർത്തും സമേധ പ്രഭവന്തി പുംസ തമീശ്വരം ത്വാം ശരണം പ്രപദ്യേ. അചക്ഷുരന്ധസ്യ യഥാഗ്രണീകൃത തഥാ ജനസ്യ വിദുഷോ ബുധോ ഗുരു തമൽക്കദൃക് സർവദൃശാം സമീക്ഷണോ വ്യവൃതോ ഗുരുർ ന സുഗതിം ബുഭുൽസദാം. ജനോ ജനസ്യാദിശദേ സതീം മതീം യയാ പ്രപദ്യേത ദുരത്യയം തമാ ത്വം ത്വവ്യയം ജ്ഞാനം അമോഘമഞ്ജസ പ്രപദ്യതേ യേന ജനോ നിജം പദം. Tvam sarvalogasya suhul priyeshwaro Atma guru jnanamabhishta siddhi Tadhabi logo na bhavandam andhadir Janadi sandham hridi baddhakamaham Tvam tvamaham devavaram varenyam Prabadhyamisham pradibodhanaya Chindyarthadibir bhagavan vajobir Grandhin hridayan vivranu swamukaham These are the words he has spoken, the king has spoken, and king is now seeing, talking about the principle of the guru, principle of the guru. What he mentioned, I'll briefly mention here now what he said, but these 5-6 verses, they need a separately discussion of its own, because it is so much in that, to properly understand what the guru principle is. Guru principle in the modern world is different. It's so so much mixed up with so many things, and we have completely developed a modern science centered around that. But Srimad Bhagavatam's principle is quite different. Anyway, it mentions here that anadya vidyam, anadi means from time immemorial. No beginning. When it has started, we don't know. What was that? The ignorance in us. The ignorance in us. And that's what's called avidya. Anadya avidya, he says. Avidya means our ignorance is been there from time immemorial. It's not that only in this body I become ignorant. No. The same ignorance I had in the last body as well. And in the body before that. And the body before that. Like that, if you want to trace my ancestry to such an extent, you can trace that avidya was always there. That's why I still have this material body. So, because of avidya, knowledge of the soul is covered. Knowledge of the soul is covered. Remember, we discussed this before, that Jagrat, Svapnam, Sushupti, three states. In Jagrat, is related to Sattugunam. Dream state is related to Rajogunam. Deep sleep is related to Tamogunam. Deep sleep is related to Tamogunam. Isn't it? Tamogunam means the ignorant state. So, when you come back from that deep sleep state back to vacant state, you are bringing that Tamogunam with you. It has not left you. Tamogunam is still there. How the three modes of material nature is holding us very tightly. So, when you come back from that to vacant state, Tamogunam has not left you. Tamogunam has not left you. On that Tamogunam, you are adding on to it some Sattugunam and a lot of Rajogunam. That's what our daily life is now. That Tamogunam, what you have brought with you from the deep sleep state, you can see when we wake up, you look at our own face in the mirror, how awful it looks, isn't it? We don't want to look at ourselves at that time. The whole, what do you call it, a devil or you are not in a mood to say anything. You just want to. People take different things to get out of that mood of waking up in the morning, isn't it? And that's the problem. Whereas if you look at a baby when he sleeps, it's different, isn't it? When the baby wakes up, that looks very fresh and looks very beautiful at that time. Exactly opposite what when we wake up. So, why is it like that? Because the tamogunam in us is such, because babies haven't got that tamogunam yet. Like this tamogunam we have acquired, and that tamogunam has dissolved with the mind when we go into the deep sleep state. With the mind it is dissolved. Only when you come back to the vacant state again, that tamogunam comes out, and it is onto that tamogunam through our morning spiritual activities. We are adding a little bit of spiritual life into it and make it a little bit sattvikam. Sattugunam, we add into it. And that is why devotees say, when I chant, I feel, better, more peaceful and all. It is an expression of that experience inside. The tamogunam that has come with him, he has managed to keep it aside a little bit by chanting the holy name and developing some sattugunam inside. And then, of course, he enters into this wide world for the Rajogunam activities, and then they goes like that. So, he says here that what is that avidya he's talking about? The king is saying, anadi avidya param. Avidya, what is that avidya? Avidya is nothing but I am this body. This is the avidya. I am stuck in this. Isn't it? And this, so, this I know, everybody tells me that I am not this body, but I am not able to come out of it. I am not able to come out of it. So, you have come, the king is saying to the fish, you have come to give me, to take away that ignorance from me, that tamogunam from me, and give me that atmatattvam, the realization of the soul. And I know you only as the acharya or the guru who has come to instruct me on this. So, here, and that is how the king told the fish. King didn't tell him that Krishna's intention was not to show the devastation to the king. That was not the intention. But when he saw the devastation, the king asked about the soul. Otherwise he won't ask. Otherwise what will the kings do? Enjoy life, isn't it? Big palaces, servants and all sorts of facilities. How will you guys going to ask about the soul? Parikshit also same thing. When he was very clearly told, your life is over in 7 days' time, Parikshit came and sat down to listen about the soul. So, all of us needs it. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. We can run around, jump around saying that, I'm not this body. It's not going to happen in that way. When Krishna frightens us in this way, that is the point where we turn. When the life turns. So, here, the same thing is happening to Arjuna also. After seeing this universal form, Arjuna's mind got completely absorbed in Krishna. Seeing that it is Krishna who is doing everything, Krishna is inside, Krishna is outside, there is nothing outside Krishna. So, in order to get that experience to Arjuna, Krishna showed this universal form. And what else? In that universal form, Arjuna saw everything getting destroyed, including his army, brothers, and Bhishma, Drona, and everyone, Duryodhana, all of them were getting destroyed in that universal form. When he saw that, what did Arjuna do? Immediately fell on the floor, flat, and paid his obeisances. That is the next three verses in the Bhagavad Gita. We look at that now. 40, 41, and 42. Three verses. Krishna, after getting the shock treatment from Krishna, how Arjuna reacts to that. That's what that verse. Verse 40. Nama purastada daprishtadaste. Namo sude sarvadayeva sarvaha. Ananda viryamida vikramastvam. Sarvam samapnoshi tatosi sarvaham. Nama purastadada prishtadaste. Namo stude sarvadayeva sarvam. Ananda viryamida vikramastvam. Sarvam samapnoshi tatosi sarvaham. Nama purastadada prishtadaste namostude sarvadayeva sarva anandam viryamidam vikramastvam sarvam samapnoshi tatosi sarvaha. Translation: obeisances from the front, from behind, and from all sides. Unbounded power, O unbounded power, you are the master of limitless might. You are all pervading and thus you are everything. That's what Arjuna realized it at that. Nama purastadada prishtadaste namostude sarvadayeva sarva. Ananda viryamida vikramastam sarvam samapnoshi tadosi sarva. You can't have a better realization than this. That saying up to this time, now he is not telling, oh my Krishna, drive the chariot. That's how the whole thing started, isn't it? In the beginning. Krishna, take the chariot there. Like a driver, we tell the driver, drive here, drive there. We're saying to Krishna, now all that's gone. Now it's obeisances from the front, obeisances from the back, obeisances from the sides, obeisances from everywhere. He says, obeisances from the front, behind, from all sides, he says. Oh, unbounded power, you are the master of limitless might. You are all pervading and thus you are everything, he says. Nama purastadada prishtadaste namostude sarvadayeva sarva. ananda the viryamida vikramastam sarvam samapnoshi tadosi sarva. Then next verse, two verses. Saghe dimatva prasabam yaduktam. He Krishna, he Yadava, he Sakhe Edim. Ajanadama himanam tavedam. Maya pramada pranayena vapi. Sakhe dimatva prasabam yaduktam. He Krishna, he Yadava, he Sakhedim. Ajanatamahimanam tavedam. Maya pranat pranayena vapi. Sakhedi matva prasavam yaduktam. He Krishna, he Yadava, he Sakhedi. Ajanatamahimanam tavedam. Maya pranat pranayena vapi. Then next verse. Yachavaha sartam asatkritosi. Vihara shayyasana bhojaneshu. Eko dhavapya chudatal samaksham. Tarkshamayatva mahaprameyam. Yachavaha sartam asalkritosi. Vihara shayyasana bhojaneshu. Eko dhavapya chudatat samaksham. Tarkshamayatva mahaprameyam. Yachavaha sartam asal kritosi. Vihara shayyasana bhojaneshu. Eko dhavapya chudatat samaksham. Tarkshamayatva aham aprameyam. So these two verses, I'll read the translation. I have in the past addressed you as O Krishna, O Yadava, O my friend, without knowing your glories. Please forgive whatever I may have done in madness or in love. I have dishonored you many times while relaxing or while lying on the same bed or eating together, sometimes alone and sometimes in front of many friends. Please excuse me for all my offenses. Arjuna has woken up. Up to now he was saying, he's just my friend, isn't it? He'll do what I want him to do. Without me, he won't be able to look after himself. All kinds of thoughts in Arjuna's head, isn't it? So that is what those two these three verses are. Arjuna, after seeing the universal form, his reaction to that. He says to him, I don't know who you are. First thing, he begins like that. You don't know who you are. So, that just like that fish grew in its eyes and became big in the ocean. Similarly, this Krishna who is sitting in the chariot suddenly developed this form into the universal form. Exactly like the same way. So, after seeing that and got frightened, Arjuna is saying this, isn't it? I called you Krishna, Yadava and all that, and I've done a great mistake by saying that. Because not knowing your glories, or maybe due to my, you can't say it love, due to my attachment, I have spoken things to you in that way. Or you can take it that in my ignorance I have addressed you like that. Because Arjuna didn't know how to put it to Krishna. Because already problem has happened now. Yes, I addressed him, Krishna, Yadava and all that. And now the feeling of guilt that I have told Arjuna to drive the chariot, Krishna to drive the chariot. And many things Arjuna has told Krishna before. So many things what happened between Krishna and Arjuna, isn't it? Which you know very well. Asat kridosi, that's a word. Asat kridosi means I have acted in all kind of asat I have done. So I have behaved very wrongly to you, he says. I behaved very wrongly to you. You have to remember, both of them are the same age group. Arjuna and Krishna is more or less the same. He says, Vihara Shayasana Bhojaneshu. Vihara Shayasana Bhojaneshu. That means, Vihara means we play together. So two friends, when they play together, naturally there will be always some verbal exchange, isn't it? And while sleeping also, they have talked to each other and slept. And while eating also, they were such thick, close friends. And all these things has happened to Arjuna in the battlefield. And then, when Krishna left this world, much later, in Dwaraka, Arjuna goes back to Hastinapur. And at that time, you should see Arjuna's mood. It's worthwhile reading that and see what happened here. If you look into the first canto, in the 15th chapter, 19th verse, what did Arjuna do there at that time? In two instances, although all this happened here, still Arjuna forgot everything, what happened. Just like we also forget everything, isn't it? So, same thing happened to Arjuna. Arjuna forget it. And in the 15th chapter, you will see that what did Arjuna say to Yudhishthira? Shayasanadana vigathana bojana adi aikya advaya sikhadava anidi vipralabdha sakhyu sakheva pidruvattanayasya sarvam sohe mahan mahidaya kumathe akhamme. There is a number of verses there, Arjuna remembering about his relationship with Krishna. Verses begin from fifth words in that chapter. How does Arjuna say, Vanjidoham Maharaja Harina Bandhurubinam Yename Apakradam Tejo Deva Vismabanam Mahat. Vanjidoham Maharaja Harina Bandhurubinam. When Arjuna came back, Yudhishthira Maharaj sensed that something has seriously gone wrong. So when Yudhishthira asked him, what has happened? Arjuna's reply was, Krishna has cheated me. He says, we also say like that, isn't it? Somebody dies and goes away suddenly among close people, someone. What do we say? He has cheated me. Vanjidoham Maharaja Harina Bandharubina. Arjuna has come to his senses that Krishna is not permanent here. He's not going to be with me forever. When that thought came to Arjuna, he has completely lost his strength. The moment, because all these years, with Krishna behind the back, Arjuna didn't know where that source of energy was coming from. Arjuna was recognized all over the world as the greatest fighter. Arjuna was so confident of himself. You couldn't say about Arjuna anything because he was so confident in what he did and when he fought the war. He was capable and he was not frightened of anything in this world. But suddenly when Krishna left, whole energy, as though something happened in his life that he could not recover from that again. Arjuna realized it, who he is at that moment. So from that onwards, Vanjidoham Maharaja Harina Bandhurubina, there's a number of verses where he is remembering how in absence of Krishna, what would have happened to him. How he was protected in the Mahabharata war. How he was protected in the forest. How Kunti Devi and the children were protected. All kinds of things. Arjuna is constantly talking about it in many, many verses. And at the end he says there, because in real terms, Arjuna was very frightened of Karna. Arjuna was very frightened of Bhishma. He knew that he can't win them, even in the battlefield. And still he knew he was able to win only because Krishna was behind. So now he is seeing, when Krishna has left, Arjuna started seeing the reality more. He started seeing that even when he was taking care of all the wives of Krishna's wives, he was taking them to Hastinapur, even the cowherd boys who were tending the cows, they came to fight with Arjuna and Arjuna lost the battle. And then he started seeing that, what is my strength? He started realizing that. That's why he says there, Shayasanatanam, you say the words, Narmanyudara Rujirasmida Shobhidani, 18th verse, He Partha, He Arjuna, Sakhe Kuru Nandanedi, Samjalpidani Naradeva Hrdis Prashani, Smartur Lutandi Hrdayam, Mama Matavasya, Shayasanatana Vigatana Bojanadi, Aikyadayasi Hrdavanadi Vipralabdhaha, Sakhyu, Sakheva, Pidruvattanayasya Sarvam, Sehe Mahan, Mahidaya Kumathe Akhamme. So he says there that while sleeping, while sitting down, and while joking, while eating, and we were together, and not knowing your glories, I have addressed you in a not in the proper way, he says. Sometimes I have even joked about you, saying that you are such a, you talk about truth so much, but I don't think you are all that truthful. Krishna, Arjuna has spoken to Krishna like that in many instances. But in all that situations, Krishna has tolerated me, Arjuna is saying here. And just like a son's mistakes, a father tolerates in the same way, or a friend's mistake, another friend tolerates, in the same way you have tolerated. That sakyu sakheva pitruvartanayasya sarvam sehe mahan mahidaya kumate akhamme. He says all that things there. So there you can see here that Krishna says here, you are the you are pidamahasya. If you look into the 43rd verse in the Bhagavad Gita, you will see what does Arjuna says about Krishna. Because it's coming from there. He says there, in that 43rd verse, Pidas pidasi logasya chara charasyam tomasya bujyascha gurur gariyan natvasamostya abhyadiga kudonyom logatrayapya pratima prabhavam Pidasi logasya characharasyam tamasya pujyascha gurur gariyan natval samostya bhidya kutonyom logatrayopya pratima prabhavam Pidasi logasya characharasyam tamasya pujyascha gurur gariyan Natval samostya bhidya kutonyom Logatraya pyapratima prabhavam. You are the father of this complete cosmic manifestation, the worshipable chief, the spiritual master. No one is equal to you, nor can anyone be one with you. Within the three worlds, you are immeasurable. Arjuna says to Krishna, you are immeasurable, he says here. So, why he says, Pidasi logasya charajarasya. He says, Pidasi logasya charajarasya. Because actually Krishna is our father and mother, both. Both Krishna is father and mother. So there is a story of a great yogi he was. He was a devotee. And he lived in a famous temple in Chennai. He used to say like this, Ramalinga Swamiji, that was his name, a very, very, from early days itself, spiritually vibrant personality. So there is a lot of these siddhas who used to sit in these old ancient temples. Yogis they are, and they have a lot of siddhis also. When they see someone, there was a personality like that who used to sit in one of these famous temples. And people are coming to the temple in the morning, he was watching them. So he will make a very sharp comment about them. When somebody is walking very nicely dressed, everything, he says, here comes a dog, he says. And someone else says, here comes a cat, he says. So like they used to say like that about people, very seriously used to make this comment, because these people understand our subtle body very much. External dressing has no meaning, isn't it? Inside what we are is what it matters. So when this Ramalinga Swamiji came, this Siddha says about him, here comes a proper human being, he says. Because, and he was only 5 years old. That boy, Ramalingam, was only 5 years old. Ramalinga Swamiji, in his prayers, he says like this, that, so he says, I'm a child, if I do some naughty things. If mother beats me up, father will take care of me. Father will give me shelter. If father beats me, mother will give me shelter. But for me, father and mother is the same person. So why do I go? He says. So that is how he mentions about that. So I have nowhere else to take any shelter. Ramalinga Swamiji says it like that. So in many, many great spiritual personalities, if you observe their life, you will see that at a very early age, they came to understand the only shelter is Krishna. That they have come to realize it at a very early days itself. they have got out of the shelter of their father, mother and everything, and they have become completely under the shelter of
Krishna,
under the shelter of Krishna. So and when they surrender at that time, they know very well from now on they are completely in Krishna's shelter. Completely in Krishna's shelter. Why I am saying this is, this surrendering is not an easy thing. We can talk about it hours together, but when it comes to proper surrender, there's only very few people who are able to surrender in that way to Krishna. So, in one spiritual personality says like this, that in my life, he says that before I was 17 year old, the age when there is the greatest possibility of driven by Maya, isn't it? That's the time among, in our mind, all kinds of bad thoughts develop, isn't it? Children, it's not too bad. But as soon as you grow up and come to the late teens, early 20s, that time is like a bull without any control, looking for trouble everywhere and wants to enjoy this world, won't listen to anybody, and and mentality develops like that because of the lust inside, and also that ego builds up so strongly because of the body in a shape situation like that, isn't it? So at that time, when the ego is so high and the lust is so high, at that time, somehow or the other, by Krishna's arrangement, he has taken us in his shelter and made us to surrender to him, and that is the greatest benediction Krishna can offer. Before the life goes out of control and go through all kinds of nonsense we do in this life and completely lose our sense of discrimination, and we become subjected to the influence of Maya and suffer through this world, and then coming back to Krishna for shelter after suffering enough, kicked by the material nature, and then coming back and taking Krishna shelter. Better than that is, before we fall into that Maya and get affected by the Maya, if Krishna picks you up and gives you shelter, that is the greatest shelter. That is what the devotee says. The devotee is saying like this, that you pick me up at that time when I needed that help. Most of the people are very difficult at that age to take Krishna shelter, isn't it? So at that time itself, if somebody gives you the knowledge of the soul and take your attention away from this world, that is Krishna's greatest blessing. Krishna's greatest. So keeping that in mind, what can I say about your mercy, he says. So, as my father, as my mother, both as my father and mother, you have protected me at that time without allowing me to fall into that Maya. And pull me out of that before I got lost in that process. Pull my mind out of that and brought me into the spiritual life and put me into the self-realization process. Atmanubhavam or Brahmanubhavam, or gave me some experience of the soul, because once you get a little bit of it, it's very difficult to leave it. It's very difficult to leave it. So this is the greatest mercy from Krishna. Now exactly this is the same thing what has happened to Arjuna also. Arjuna also, the same thing has happened. At the appropriate time, Krishna's nature is like that. Isn't it? Have you observed this? So, Krishna, in all situations, if I develop a desire inside, Krishna will say, have it. You can enjoy it. No problem. If you want to enjoy, enjoy. I will go along with it. He'll say. That is why we are able to do so many things in this world. Because Krishna is with us saying that, yes, you can have it. He says, so he says here, sometimes, for example, when you're children, parents will tell the children, don't waste your time, all the time playing, study, this, that and the other. But Krishna is saying, if you want to play, play, I will be with you. You play. To go against the parents, parents are telling the children, don't go out and play all the time. You have a lot to study. You should spend time studying. But from inside, Krishna is saying, do you want to play? Go and play. Nobody is going to stop you from playing. There itself, Krishna started agreeing with us in that possibility. So, if we go out and playing, the parents will say, you'll beat us up and bring them in and force us to study. But Krishna says, no. If you want to play, you play. Anything you ask, Krishna says, yes, I'm with you. I'm with you, he says. So, if he wants to study, he will sit with you and study also. Because you can't study without his sanction, you won't be able to study anything. So, similarly, if you look in your own life, you can see, from the early days in life, whatever vasana we had brought with us from previous life, this is a subtle level you have to understand Krishna in this way. Whatever vasanas you have brought with you, and you are trying to fulfill that desire or vasana inside, and Krishna has all the way gone along with you. You can't deny that. Whatever you have enjoyed in this world is only because Krishna has sanctioned it. He went along with you to do it. He didn't stop you at that time. He didn't stop you at that time. He will say to you, so, if you pass the examination, you want to pass the examination, you can pass. You want to fail, fail. Doesn't matter. Krishna says like that. So, everything is fine. Everything, he will stay with you. And you're looking for a work or a job or something, Krishna says, yeah, go and get a job. Work for it. Get it somehow. You'll get it. Sherry. And then afterwards, he says, oh, you want to get these degrees or whatever qualifications, Krishna goes along with you. Work for it. Get it. He'll help you all the way to get it. All the qualifications you want to get it, he will say. If you want to get work, get it. You will get it also. That at some point in time, Krishna goes along with that. And then you say, I want to get married. Krishna says, get married. That's the problem. You get married also. And then after the marriage, you say, you want to have children. Yes, have children, Krishna says. And after the children are born, so after children are born, all kinds of problems have come. And when the children are born, see, Krishna says, that's also okay. So everything, whatever we are doing and the results are coming from that, Krishna goes along with it all the time. This is the way Krishna is with us most of the time. He acts like this. And after getting married, all problems have happened. Krishna says, yes, that's also life. You want to leave the wife and go take sannyas? Krishna says, take sannyas, I'll go with you also. So where is Krishna stopping us? Krishna is not stopping any time. In everything what we are trying to do, Krishna goes along with us. If you observe yourself, you can see this. Carefully, if you look at your own life and see at different times how different desires developed in the mind according to the vasana what we brought with us, and we made plans and we worked in this world, and it all happened in many places. Maybe if the desire was not a big one, to who wants to be a millionaire or something, if it was not like that, most of the other desires Krishna fulfills along with us. Wanted to get married, has got married. Wanted to have children, had children. And then wanted to have money, his money was there. House was there, car was there. Everything what you wanted, Krishna says, you can have it. No problem. So this is what is the nature Krishna operates. He says, you can have everything what you want. So in everything, Krishna is with you. And Krishna will be with you and bless you with everything what you are looking for. So that is that Kripa Shakti, Krishna's mercy nature. Arjuna is saying here, you are with me as the father and the mother. Pidasi logasya characharasya. He says there, isn't it? And all this time Krishna is there. But one thing you have to remember, when Krishna is with you and doing all these things, he will not talk to you about the soul. He will not talk to you. The one thing what you actually want from Krishna, he won't give it to you in all these circumstances. He'll go with you and join you in all your new projects, what you are starting every day. And he will bless you with all his, blessings will come, and you will win and you will make it also. And sometimes you may fail. That is only because of the prarabdham is not allowing you to have it. That is why it's not happening. In the Vedam, there is a statement, everything is qualification. If you are qualified, you will get it. Not by your effort. You have to qualify for everything. Particularly in Sri Suktam, Bhagya Suktam, there are Vedic chanting. And there are mantras specifically saying this. Only when you are qualified, you will get something. It has to come to you. So, all these years, Krishna did not talk about the soul to Arjuna. Not once. Mentioned about the so years and years have gone. And throughout childhood, played with Krishna. Arjuna played with Krishna. When he slept, he slept. When Krishna was entered into politics, Arjuna also got involved in the politics. So, and when the politics became in its peak, Krishna says to Arjuna, don't give up. He says, fight now. because Arjuna Krishna was so involved in the politics, at that one point, he says, don't give it up, Arjuna, fight the war. And when in Arjuna's mood, at even at that point, if he has spoken about the knowledge of the soul, it will not have any effect. So, because it was like that, everything what Arjuna was desiring, Krishna was fulfilling. Arjuna decided that I'll keep him in the chariot as my driver. Because he was listening to everything. You need a driver who will listen to you, isn't it? In Mahabharata, there are two personalities. One is Arjuna, other one is Karna. Krishna was Arjuna's driver, charioteer, and Shalya was Karna's charioteer. Have you looked at both of them, how they have acted? Every time Arjuna lost confidence, Krishna brought him up. And every time Shalya pushed Karna to the down, to the lowest point. The word Shalya means headache. If you get someone like that with you all the time giving advice to you, Karna was actually a very powerful fighter. Arjuna can no match to Karna. But because of this Shalya, Karna couldn't do anything. You will read that in the Mahabharatam. If you read that story of Shalya, the moment Shalya took, that was all Krishna's arrangement, that Shalya should take up the charioteer's position. And constantly Shalya is telling to Karna that you can't fight him. You will lose it. You won't make it. Somebody standing with you and telling you all the time this thing, the battlefield, how would you like it? So that's what has happened. So Karna and Arjuna, both are very powerful fighters. But look at the name. One, Krishna, who is the knowledge personified. Isn't it? Knowledge personified. So because he was like that, Arjuna, who was completely collapsed, Krishna brought him up, took him up. Isn't it? And other person, Arjuna had no strength of his own. It was Krishna's strength that has brought the energy to Arjuna to fight. On the other hand, Karna has come to the battlefield with full of enthusiasm to fight. Enthusiasm to fight. But who is sitting next to him? Shalya. Shalya means Mahashalya. He was the greatest problem maker. So, at the beginning itself, he will say to Krishna, to Karna, it's not possible. He says, you can't win this war. You lose it anyway. Anyway, I'll ride the chariot for you, but you are going to lose it. If somebody tells you like that, how would you like it? So, he says to him, Karna, you won't be able to fight with Arjuna. As soon as you get there, you're going to be killed by him. You're going to lose. And like this, he will tell some history. What Arjuna has done in the past, and glorify Arjuna to such an extent, Karna was losing his own confidence all the time. He lost all his confidence. And ultimately, the chariot wheel got into the mud. It went down in the mud. So in the place, if you remember that Rathakalpana we discussed before, that this chariot is actually, from Kathopanishad it has taken to Bhagavad Gita, to point out to us that the horses are the senses, the rope is the mind, and the one who is controlling the rope, if he controls it properly, the chariot will reach the destination properly. Isn't it? The charioteer, in other words. So, in the position of the charioteer, if it is Krishna means knowledge, Krishna means knowledge, isn't it? If Krishna is driving the chariot, it will reach the destination. But if it is driven by, in other words, if the person who has knowledge of the soul, like Krishna has that, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, and when Arjuna was in distress, Krishna brought him back to the right understanding and elevated him from his depressed situation, isn't it? So even when at the place, so that charioteer is the intelligence. Charioteer is the intelligence. In place of Krishna, Karna had Shalya. Shalya means ignorance, completely ignorance. He couldn't help any time Karna. He was actually a problem for Karna from beginning to end. So what it's showing to us is, if you put Krishna at the place of intelligence, whatever, if you take that instructions from Krishna, this chariot called this material body, it will reach the proper destination. In other words, when the what is the proper destination? Proper destination is this. At the time of death, we will lose this body once for all. That is the proper destination. We don't have to accept another material body again. Whereas if you put Shalya there to drive this chariot, means ignorance, what will happen? As soon as you leave this body, you have to accept another material body. That's what. So, Krishna didn't wandered around with Arjuna for a very long time and never spoke once whenever Arjuna wanted to enjoy life, anything against it. Have you noticed that? Never spoke once to Arjuna, Arjuna, it's not wrong, don't enjoy life in this way. Nothing. He never stopped him from there. When he was learning how to fight as archery, he stayed with him. And he even encouraged Arjuna, fight with Lord Shiva and get that Pashupada Astram from him. Because Arjuna had Pashupadam with him while fighting, which was given to him by Lord Shiva, which he used during the battle of Mahabharata war, isn't it? And he encouraged Arjuna to fight against Lord Shiva. That also did. So ultimately, Arjuna dressed up like a sannyasi came to Dwaraka one day. Isn't it? When he came to Dwaraka, when he arrived Dwaraka, he says to him, when he saw Subhadra, oh, she is very good looking, isn't it? Who says this? Arjuna says to Krishna, she is very good looking, isn't it? He says to him. So, and he says to him, says to Krishna, I don't know who she is, he says to him. But Krishna never said that it's my sister or anything. Very nice looking girl, isn't it? He says to Arjuna. Krishna says to Arjuna, it's a very nice looking girl, isn't it? He says to him. So Arjuna says, yes. So then he says to him, do you want to marry her? That's the next question. To seeing Arjuna's desire, he says to him, if you want to marry her, I'll make the arrangements, he says. Then he says to him, she is my sister. Till then, Arjuna didn't know that Subhadra was his sister. So only when he's in the sannyasi dress. Remember that, huh? He has come in the sannyasi dress. Even there, Krishna's attitude is, Arjuna has this desire, I'll help him to have it. I'm not going to stop it. Sannyasi and all, forget about it, he says. That's how much Krishna cares about this sannyasam. So he says to him that you want to marry her? Okay, marry her. I'll make the arrangements. And he made the arrangements, everything, isn't it? Krishna, and Balram was so upset about it. And he played the whole game in such a way. Balram got so angry with Krishna about it. And Krishna played the card so well that I told you that you should never invite this kind of sannyasis home anytime in the future. Warn him like that. That's all there in that Bhagavatam you can read. Subhadra Swayamvaram is a very famous part. And there also you can see here that so says to Arjuna, if you want to take her away. I'll make the arrangement. Get her into the chariot. She will ride the chariot. You both escape from here. When they escaped, Balrama Swami came to know about this. What has happened? Balram came like, they say in the Bhagavatam, it was like an ocean roaring with the waves. So angry he was. He wanted to burn the whole place up and get Arjuna and Subhadra there, running there. And he wanted to chase them. When Krishna saw that, Krishna caught hold of Balram and told him, my dear brother, it's no point saying anything about it now. They are both happy. They got married now and pacified Balram in such a nice way. Balram didn't go afterwards, invited both of them to come, to Arjuna and Subhadra to come back. Initially, they started chasing and Subhadra was driving the chariot and they were drawing at such a high speed. They were flying in the chariot. And Krishna knew that if Balram gets them, that's it. That's finished. Arjuna is finished. Subhadra is finished. Both will be gone. So when they got back, first thing Krishna did was told Arjuna and Subhadra, both of you pay your obeisances to Balram, he says. Both of them, you pay your obeisances now to Balram, he said. And they paid their full dandavats to Balram and Balram got pacified somehow. So all these things Krishna has done, and Krishna has put them in the chariot and without the knowledge of Balram, send them away from there. In all this, Krishna has stood with Arjuna. But in spite of all this, never once talked about the knowledge of the soul. That is the most important thing in this. Krishna with us also in the same way. We make all plans in this life. From age 15, 20, plan making has started. When will this plan making will end? It will never end. It will continue like this whole life. Isn't it? One plan after another plan after another plan. Krishna says, yes, I will stay with you. In everything what plans you are making, I will go along with it. And many cases it happens what we wanted and we feel happy about it. And we tell everybody else that Krishna is with me. Krishna is helping me. You see, Krishna has given me so much money. Krishna has given me so much followers, so much shelter, so much this, so much that. And feeling happy about it. But the real thing what you have to get from Krishna, you didn't get it. This is the unfortunate thing. That is what this chapter is trying to tell us. What you have to get from Krishna is self-realization, not all these things, what we are talking about as the big thing. Therefore, that is what Arjuna is feeling here. He's saying here, after all these things have happened in my life, with Subhadra, with all other experiences in life in the forest, with Kunti Devi, and how they were sheltered and protected when Duryodhana gave them so much trouble, Dhritarashtra gave them a lot of trouble. All those things, Arjuna is talking about all that thing. But Arjuna is still realizing that the one and the only one thing, what actually you should get from Krishna, he hasn't got it. That is the, you see, if you go to a very rich person and ask him, £5 to buy some vegetables. That's not a very nice thing, isn't it? The greatest thing what you can get from Krishna is this Atmavidya, Brahmavidya, or knowledge of the soul. If you get that, you got it. What you get to get from Krishna. Otherwise, you haven't got anything else. So, so Krishna knows all these things. So Arjuna is saying here, even after coming to the battlefield, he didn't give any attention to Krishna. Even at that time, he's thinking about Krishna in this way. And he told him, you take the chariot. Ratham stavayam Achyuta. Achyuta, as though it's his driver, he's calling him. Achyuta, take the chariot there, he says. Senayor ubhayor madhye ratham stavayam Achyuta. I don't want the chariot here. Take it right in the middle of the both armies. Kaurava's army and Pandava's army. He says like that. And Krishna, without saying one word, took the chariot and parked it there. But he did a very tricky thing there. What? Krishna did a very tricky thing. Did you notice that in the Bhagavad Gita? When he parked the chariot, he brought it and placed it in such a way right in front of Bhishma and Drona. Deliberately done that. In front of Bhishma and Drona, he parked the chariot. Because Krishna knows that once he sees Bhishma and Drona, Arjuna will be like this. He will lose his strength. In order to push him, pull him down, because otherwise Arjuna won't surrender. All the rubbish he was talking before, he'll continue to talk, knowing very well to bring Arjuna to his become conscious of that, brought and parked it right in front of Bhishma and Drona. The chariot was parked. If you look into the second chapter and that verse 7, that is what it is talking about. Karpanya dosha bhakrida swabhavam prachamitvam dharma sammuta chetaha yakshrayasyan nischidam brohidanme shishyasteham shadhimam tvam prapannam. Arjuna is saying, Karpanya dosha bhakrida swabhava prachamitvam dharma sammuta chetaha yakshrayasyan nischidam brohidanme shishyasteham shadhimam tvam prapannam. Now I am confused about my duty and have lost all composure because of weakness. In this condition, I am asking you to tell me clearly what is best for me. Now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. To bring Arjuna to this state, it took a long time. It took a long time. Only when you come to this state, if anybody instructs on the knowledge of the soul, it will work. Krishna knows that. That's why first Arjuna has to be brought to that state. When Arjuna has come to that state, when he says, Shishyasteham Shadimam Tvam Prapannam, that is surrender. When that surrender happens, he says, Eshrayasyan Nishchidam Bruhidanme Shishyasteham Shadimam Tvam Prapannam. I have surrendered unto you. I don't know what is good for me. And my intelligence is completely in darkness, he says. Completely in darkness. So, show me, instruct me the path, he says to him. And up to this point, Krishna has never spoken about the soul to Arjuna. Only when he has surrendered like this and asked for instruction, at that time Krishna instructed him. Prior to that, if you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see when Arjuna was crying, just like a friend, he was telling him that why you talk crying like this, neither like a man nor like a woman, he says. Klaibhyam asmagama partha naivata yuvabadhyade shudrayam hrudaya daurbalyam tekto tishta parandava. He says to Arjuna like this. Kutastva kashmalamidam vishame samubastidam anarejushtam asvargyam akirtim karam Arjuna. He says. Blasting Arjuna. You are just neither a man nor a woman crying like this, he says to him. He scolded him but still didn't talk to him about the knowledge of the soul. Only when the surrender happened, Krishna decided to talk to him the truth. That is why Bhagavad Gita is so beautiful. So, only at that point Arjuna started realizing that he doesn't have the knowledge when he was able to surrender. Isn't it? Only when you know that, you don't know anything, only then, and when you accept it that you don't know anything, only at that point you can surrender. Isn't it? And that's what has happened to Arjuna. So, in a person's life also, the most important time is when one recognizes this, that he does not know. That's the most, the turning point in life. As long as we think I know everything, then it is very difficult. But the moment you recognize that I don't know anything, only then this Bhagavad Gita will be effective. The problem is, when we study Bhagavad Gita also, our mood is, I know everything. I know everything. What has Krishna got to say about it? This is our mood. We are studying Bhagavad Gita. That is why Bhagavad Gita is not going in. We are finding it difficult. But the moment we recognize that I don't know anything, what goes on in this world, I have no other shelter except Krishna and surrenders unto him, at that time Bhagavad Gita has its impact on us. So that is why Krishna is asking this to Arjuna is asking Krishna to instruct. Shadimam tvam prabhannam. Prabhannam means unconditional surrender. Unconditional surrender. And only in that state, if you ask for instructions, that instructions will work. And it is the first time Krishna opens his mouth at that time. Till then, Krishna has not spoken. You will see this also in the relationship with Sanatana Goswami and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Sanatana Goswami was a great personality, wasn't he? He was a prime minister. And he was a learned scholar, he was. Sanatana Goswami was a very highly learned scholar. And he had a big position and a lot of authority in him. But when he came to the point that nothing in this life is worthwhile, till you have the knowledge of the soul and self-realization happens and understand what is Krishna means, he understood that I don't know anything. And that's what he told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, isn't it? I don't know who I am. What do I know then when I don't know who I am, isn't it? It is in the Indian Chaitanya Charitamrita, you will read that. He says to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I don't know who I am. People tell me I am this, I am that, but I don't even know who I am. What is the use, he says. And then you should see Sanatana Goswami, how he came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that when he came, he threw away everything, recognizing that I am not worth anything. All his wealth he gave away, even the blanket which was a good blanket, he threw it away and took a torn one. And because he knew that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't like it. That humility, that surrender, that Sharanagati, that is what made Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to instruct Sanatana Goswami on the spiritual life. Spiritual path. So you can see this always, that when there is proper surrender, like Arjuna surrendered to Krishna, with all their friendly relationship, family relationship, social relationship, Krishna will not talk about spiritual knowledge to Arjuna. Only at that point, when Arjuna completely surrendered to Krishna and accepted that I don't know anything, Krishna said, now I will talk to you. That is how spiritual life works. Spiritual life, the principle is like this. That till that point comes, surrender comes, the instruction won't come from inside. Krishna's instructions won't happen. That's what we are saying, that bhakti process is all surrender, nothing but surrender. You can do so many things in this world, but if there is no surrender, Krishna says, I cannot instruct you on anything. That is Krishna's attitude. Krishna's position is like that. So it's 10 to 4. We'll continue after 15 minutes. So, you can see that in the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, you don't see Sri Bhagavan Uvacha anywhere. Kept quiet. Let Arjuna finish all his rumblings. And so he waited for that. So in second chapter, when Krishna started speaking, after Arjuna has spoken a lot about his own knowledge, and it is after that Krishna opens his mouth. And as soon as he opened his mouth, first he fired him. That's the first thing the conversation begins in the Bhagavad Gita. If you look in the Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Ashochyana Anvashojastvam, in the second chapter you will see this verse. Ashochyana Anvashojastvam Pratnya Vadam Shabashase Gadasuna Gadasumsha Nani Shochandi Pandidaha. That is the first fire straight away on Arjuna. Ashochyana Anvashojastvam Pratnya Vadam Shabashase. You talk big things, he says to Arjuna. Normally Krishna says, a learned person doesn't talk. He doesn't talk. Pratnya vadamsha bhasha se ashochyana anyashochastam. And the kind of things what you are talking about it, that they are going to die, he's going to die. This is not a symptom of knowledge. He says, no symptom of knowledge. He says to Arjuna, ashochyana anyashochastam. When somebody is dying, and if you are lamenting about that death, that means you are not in knowledge. That is Krishna's point. You are not in knowledge. Because what are you lamenting about? Asat. Isn't it? You are worrying about Asat. That means you have no knowledge. Asat will die anyway. If you know that, why are you lamenting about that? That is a Krishna's measuring rod of measuring a person's knowledge. He says, if you have knowledge, you shouldn't be lamenting about this. Ashochyan anvashochastvam. And not only that, you are lamenting about the death of Bhishma, Drona, Karnam and all these soldiers who are presenting there. Not only that, Pratnya Vadamsha Bhasha Se, the way you are speaking as though you are highly learned, added to all that. And then he says to him, Gadasuna Gadasumscha, coming and going is a part of Asat. That is the way Asat is. That's why Krishna is stressing this. You have to put that verse all the time in the perspective. Which one? Nasado Vidyade Bhava. Na bhavo vidyate sada. Practically in life you have to apply it, not keep it as philosophical words and keep it like that. That's no use at all. Only when you start putting in practical life, every moment that verse, you will see that Krishna's words is the truth, not the words what we are lamenting, crying about so many things in life. This lost this, we lost that, and so many things we are concerned about in life. But Krishna is saying it's all asat you are busy with. Where is the point? So, nasado vidyade bhava, na bhavo vidyade sada is applied here, and Krishna is saying to him that ashochyana anyashochastvam pratnya vadamscha bhashase. Lamenting about the asat and talking like a scholar. That's what Krishna didn't like. So, he says to him, gadasu nagadasumscha means coming and going. Coming and going is for the asat. For the Sat, there is no coming going. Sat is always there. There is no time when Sat doesn't exist. If you have got that verse clearly in your thoughts, then you can see every verse in the Bhagavad Gita makes sense. Because it is on the foundation of that knowledge, the whole Bhagavad Gita has been structured. That particular verse. That's why Acharya Swamiji, when he wrote the commentary on that verse, he took page after page to tell us that this is the truth. This is the truth. There's nothing else is the truth. What Krishna says in that verse, why? Pandita Samadarshina. Yani Ubhayorabi Drishtondam Sanayor Tatu Darshibi. Tatu Darshis have confirmed this. That's how Krishna puts it. Krishna is not saying this is my opinion. He says Tatu Darshis who have seen the truth have spoken this in this way. So same thing. Yadasuna Gadasumscha. Nani Shojani Pandita. You are talking about Asat, which is coming and going, and you are talking like a Pandita, like a Pandit, he says. So the Blessed Lord said, while speaking learned words, you are mourning of what is not worthy of grief. What is not worthy of grief? What? Of the Asat. Asat. Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor the dead. Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor for the dead. Nor for the dead. Means what? They don't lament about this body. Body is the one what comes and goes. Soul has no coming going, isn't it? Soul is present there. So after saying all these things, and says to him, this is not a symptom of a learned person. And now, after seeing this universal, all these things Krishna has spoken in the second chapter. But now, after seeing this universal form, Arjuna got a little bit understanding of who Krishna is, who was talking to him. So, at that time, because when Krishna spoke these verses to Arjuna, still Arjuna has not accepted it. You have to remember that. Even when the second chapter was spoken, it hasn't happened to Arjuna. Realization hasn't come to him. Like us also, we are reading Bhagavad Gita. But inside we have not accepted anything. We are still thinking we are right. Krishna is wrong. That's what most of us are thinking now. Even now. That is why we go on day after day after day. We still have questions coming from that. Isn't it? Why question? Why can't accept Krishna saying, but we won't accept Krishna saying, therefore our false ego inside will come up and start putting questions in front of others. Every one of us, there's nobody exception to that. Acceptance of Bhagavad Gita means accepting the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. If the knowledge is happening in us, in everything in our dealings in this world, then you can say that you have accepted Krishna's words. But so long as we study Bhagavad Gita like a textbook and not absorbing it in our life, that means this nasado vidyate bhava we have to apply every moment. When we lose things in this world, we should know it is asat. When we gain something in this world, also we should know it is asat that has come, not sat. Sat is always remaining. You can't destroy sat. Asat will always be destroyed. Asat will not stay. So, keeping all these things now with the universal form, that is why if you study Shastram a lot, realization won't come. When Krishna hits you with something, with some distress in life, then all these things will make sense. What Bhagavad Gita is saying will all make sense at that time. Up to that time, it's all questions only. So, here, you can see here that Arjuna started realizing how he has offended Krishna by addressing him in different ways. Chandavyome aparadaha, forgive me for all my offenses, and continuously praying for that, for forgiveness. And that is the next verse, 43. Pidasi lokasya chara charasyam tomasya pujyascha gurur gariyan natval samostya bhadiga kutonyam logatraya pyapradima prabhavam Pitasi logasya characharasyam Tomasya pujyascha gurur gariyan Natval samostya bhadiga kutonyom Logatraya pyapratima prabhavam Natval samostya bhadiga kutonyom Logatraya pyapratima prabhava Krishna, Arjuna is saying to Krishna, Krishna, who is there in this world equal to you? Adhyakutoha anyaha. Then, tom adhyascha pujyascha gurur gariyan. For this world, you are the greatest spiritual master and greatest personality. And in all the three worlds, Tasmal, next verse, 44. Tasmal pranamya pranidhaya kayam. Prasadayatvamahamishamidhyam. Pideva putrasya sakheva sakhyum. Priya priya yarhasi deva sodham. तस्मात् प्रणम्य प्रणिधाय कायम् प्रसादय त्वामहमीशमीढ्यम् पिदेव पुत्रस्य सखेव सख्यु प्रिया प्रियाय अर्हसि देव सोढम् तस्माल् प्रणम्य प्रणिधाय कायम् प्रसादय त्वामहम् ईशमीढ्यम् पिदेव पुत्रस्य सखेव सख्यु प्रिय प्रियाय अर्हसि देव सोढम्. ट्रांसलेशन: यू आर् द सुप्रीम् लॉर्ड् टु बी वर्शिप् बै एव्री लिविङ्ग् बीङ्ग्. Thus I fall down to offer you my respects and ask your mercy. Please tolerate the wrongs that I may have done to you and bear with me as a father with his son, or a friend with his friend, or a lover with his beloved. So, Tasmal pranam pranidayakayam. Krishna is, Arjuna is saying, I pay my complete obeisances to you. So, falling down like a rod, he falls down in front of Krishna, and this is a big step in life to fall down like that. Normally we pay obeisances, but it's not proper the obeisances we pay. Proper obeisances is when the false ego is completely gone from inside, and then when you pay your obeisances, that is only accepted as obeisances. Just like when we will of course, in the temple also we do that. We fall in front of Krishna in the morning, in front of the deity, isn't it? But normally we think, oh, twice I have to do it. I'll do it and finish with it, he'll say. It's another karma ritual we finish. Practically, it is like that. Ahankaram has not gone inside. And that is why, even after paying so many times obeisances, Krishna is not responding. Because ahankaram has not gone from inside. So that is the difficulty. That's why in the past, olden days, many older people, they will pay obeisances after obeisances, hundreds and thousands of times a day in front of the deity. Because they know many obeisances in the beginning is full of false ego. But as you keep on paying obeisances and you keep on thinking about it, the ego is still there in me, little by little it will start melting, that ego inside. It's not, and obeisances is a very powerful sadhana, provided it is done with the proper spirit, proper understanding. Only when it's done with the proper understanding, it is proper obeisances. Otherwise not. Otherwise it's just another physical activity, physical exercise, you can say. So, actually, when will one pray proper obeisances? Only when he realizes that the person who is coming and standing in front of him is a lot more qualified than himself, isn't it? Only when he recognizes, like Arjuna did, that Krishna who is standing in front of him is far, far superior to him in all levels, then Arjuna paid proper obeisances to him. So, when that happens, without your knowledge, you will pay your obeisances. Without your knowledge, it will happen. Otherwise, you will just make up something as obeisances. So, that is why it says here, you will see the words used, tasmad. It says, therefore, tasmal pranamya pranidhayakayam prasadayatvamahamishamidhyam. Tasmal pranamya pranidhayakayam. Therefore, Arjuna says, I have to pay my obeisances to you because you are so great a personality. You are. Many acharyas have said to Krishna like this. Even acharyas, they say that you are so big, what are we to talk about you? Shankaracharya says, I made three offenses to you, he says to Krishna. I made three offenses to you, he says to Krishna. What is that? First thing, I tried, wrote about you, glorified you by writing a lot of stuti means glorification, skirtanam about you. Where are you and what am I to write about you? He says to him. That is the first offense I have done to you, that I have spoken about you. Of course, he has written with a lot of devotion. Govinda Ashtakam, Vaja Govindam, all our prayers. Vishnu Bhujangam, so many like that. He wrote about that. But he says, who am I to write about you? That itself is an offense, he says. Because I have no qualification. Your greatness is so great. You are so great that I can't even express that through my words, he says. And that is my first offense I have done to you, he says to him. One. Second offense, he says, what did he say? He says, there is nothing in this creation except you. You are present everywhere. There is no place where you are not there. And what have I done? I have said that you are only present in Vrindavanam, you are only present in Dwaraka, you are only present in Mayapur. And places like that. I have limited you to some places like that. That is my second offense I have done to you. He says. A second offense I have committed to you by limiting you to places, holy places. Tell me one place, he says, where you don't exist. In fact, except you, nothing else exists in this creation. That is his realization. So he's saying, the second offense I have committed to you by limiting you to places like this, that, oh, only in Vrindavanam you can see Krishna. Only in Dwaraka Krishna is present. We always say like that, isn't it? Only in Vrindavanam, only in Dwaraka, only in Mathura, Krishna has performed pastime. Nowhere else Krishna exists. That is not Bhagavatam is saying. So, that is the second offense I have done. What is the third offense? Third offense, he says, that one who is present in everyone, in every form, it is you who is present. I have limited you to a form, particular form in the temple and said, this is what you are. That's my third offense. So, acharyas even has committed offenses, they feel, by their words, by their actions, and by their thoughts. And that's what they are saying, we have committed offenses to you. Who can glorify Krishna? Nobody can glorify Krishna. Krishna is too big to be glorified by any one of us, isn't it? Even acharyas who understands Krishna better, they are saying this, we have done the offense by glorifying you. We have done the offenses by glorifying you. So that is what he is saying. Similarly, here, that in order to pay obeisances to Krishna, you have to first understand Krishna. What is Krishna? Isn't it? When you understand Krishna, then there is nothing else you can do except to fall down in front of Krishna. That is proper obeisances. At the moment we pay obeisances because everybody else is doing it, I should also join the party. That's how it is at the moment. Everybody else is doing it, so let me also do it. Say, everybody else is chanting, I'll also chanting. Everybody else is singing, I'm dancing, I'll also dance. That's how it is. It's not with proper, that depth of understanding what is expected. The spirit behind it is not that perfect what Arjuna has happened here. Tasmal pranamya pranidhaya kayam prasadayatva mahamishamidhyam. That is what is important. Prasadayatva mahamishamidhyam. Pideva putrasya sakheva sakyu priya priya yarhasi deva sodham. He says, pideva putrasya, like a father to the son. I am just like your son, he says to Krishna. Because if I am your son, you will pardon me for whatever mistakes I have done. Pideva putra, sakheva sakhyu. In other words, if you treat me like your friend, that's also fine because you will tolerate me then. Priya priya arhasi deva sodham. Otherwise, a wife who is a beloved, the husband will tolerate the wife's behavior. So that's also priya priya arhasi deva sodham. So he says like that, till now Arjuna has never paid obeisances to Krishna like this, the way it is mentioned here. So he was thinking, he's just my friend, why should I pay obeisances to him? A friend doesn't pay obeisances to another friend, isn't it? Doesn't do that. So, okay, maybe he knows a little bit more than that. So what, I do have to pay obeisances to him. That's what he was thinking like that. So that's the truth also, but Namaskara Yogyata, that means that qualification to pay obeisances, it requires a lot more than that, isn't it? So that's why he says here, Tasmal Pranamya Pranidhayakayam. Now I have no choice now, because I have started realizing who you are. So I pay my obeisances, here I am, and fell in front of him, in front of Krishna. Prasada yatva mahamishamidhyam. It is called Sashtanga Namaskaram. Sashtanga means all eight limbs of the body. And because you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I completely surrender unto you, and you have to forgive me for all my offenses, Arjuna says to him, Pideva putrasya sakheva sakyu. Three kinds of things here. One, Arjuna is asking for relationship as the servant and the master. Dasya bhavam, valsalya bhavam, pideva putrasya. That father and the son. Valsalya relationship, that is. Isn't it? Valsalya relationship. Pideva putrasya. And you can go to Krishna in that way. I am Krishna's son, or I am Krishna's son, and surrender unto him in that way and ask for forgiveness for everything what we are doing. And Krishna is the father and we are the children, isn't it? In Christianity, that is the concept, isn't it? Father, Supreme Father, that concept. So, many devotees and sannyasis and all that, they have kept this relationship with Krishna, this father-son relationship with Krishna. So, so Jnanasambandha, for him, Krishna was the father. Krishna was the father. And there was one yogi called Ram Surat Kumar, and he also had a similar relationship with Krishna. He treated Krishna as his father. So he would always say, I have only got my father, nobody else. And Krishna says here, second one is Sakheva Sakyu. Sundaramurti Swamiji, they are all sannyasis, they are all Nayanmars in the Shaiva tradition. Lord Shiva's devotees, they were famous devotees, Sundaramurti and Jnanasambandha also. And this Jnanasambandha lived only up to 16 years old. You can Google and see about his life, read about him, the kind of things what he was, has done. And this Jnanasambandha was the personality when he was 3 years old. Father took him and he was bathing in that tank. If you remember that, we went to that temple. And where they were bathing, Jnanasambandha was sitting on the steps. Father told him, don't accept any food from anybody. And he was crying for, he was thirsty and hungry as well, he wanted to drink something. When the father was bathing in the tank and when he came out, he saw the drops of milk coming from Jnanasambandha's mouth. So he asked the boy, who gave you something to drink? He looked and showed it to Lord Shiva and Sri Parvati there. And so father and mother had come and fed me, he says. Drinking the milk from Sri Parvati means knowledge. That's the knowledge transmitted to, and that's how he became Jnanasambandha. Famous personality he became, and he left his body at the age of 16 or so. He left this world. And similarly, so he had this relationship with Shiva as father and Sri Parvati as the mother. He treated like that. Similarly here, Sakheva Sakyu, Sundaramurti treated Shiva as his friend. That was the relationship. He'll always talk to Shiva as just his friend. That's how that relationship was. So, unless there is some relationship with Krishna, only then you can get closer to Krishna. This is the point. This is the important point. Either father or mother, and some way, some relationship has to be there. And we have to behave in that way. Otherwise, Krishna as though your friend, that Krishna is with you all the time, throughout life, in all your lifetime, and all your activities, you have to take it that Krishna is with you. Sakheva Sakyu. That is the second one. And the third one, which is much more confidential, which is Priya Priya Arhasi Deva Sodam. That means the lover and the beloved. And that you will see mostly in the case of gopis, which is a much more confidential relationship, isn't it? So here Arjuna says, Purusha, Krishna, whatever they, that Krishna Arjuna says here, for you, you are the Priya and Priyan, and I am the Priya. Priya Priya Yarhasi Devasudham. Just like a gopi. Arjuna is mentioning that. Priya Priya Yarhasi Devasudham. And you should forgive me for all my offenses, he says. And then we see what he says. And the next verse. Adrishta Purvam Krishidosmi Drishtva Bhayena Japravyadidham Manome Tadeva Me Darshaya Devarupam Prasida Devesha Jaganivasa Adrishta Purvam Krishidosmi Drishtva Bhayena Japravyadidham Manome Tadeva Me Darshaya Devarupam Prasida Devesha Jaganivasa Adrishta Purvam Krishidosmi Drishtva Bhayena Japravyadidham Manome Tadeva Me Darshaya Devarupam Prasida Devesha Jaganivasa. After seeing this universal form, which I have never seen before, I am gladdened. But at the same time, my mind is disturbed with fear. Therefore, please bestow your grace upon me and reveal again your form as the personality of Godhead, O Lord of Lords, O abode of the universe. Arjuna had enough of the universal form. He says to him that everything is nice, but that's why he says here, Adrishta Purvam Shridosmi Drishtva Bhayena Japra Vyadidam Manome. So, inside there is happiness that he has seen the universal form. At the same time, Bhayena Japra Vyadidam Manome. Inside there is fear also. Fear combined with a certain happiness. Because Krishna has shown him as time personified. Isn't it? Remember that verse, isn't it? Remember? What was that verse? Andar bahi purusha kala rupaihi. That's important. Huh? That outside as time personified, he will frighten. Inside as the spirit soul, he is nectar. That's the relationship with Krishna. Both are abstract things to relate with, isn't it? Kalam, time, is also difficult to relate with. Even though people will tell you how time frightens you, frightens all of us, isn't it? Time frightens all of us. Because why? We know there's not a lot of time left. It will be gone. Before that, the body will be gone. So outside, he frightens us. Andar bahi purusha kala rupaihi. Mrutti mradamradancha maya manushyasya vadasya vidvan. About Krishna, he says like that. So here, he says here, as Kali Rupam, form time personified, Krishna has manifested, and this fear frightening form of Krishna, let it stay like that. Tadeva me darshaya deva rupam. I just want to see that old form, what you were in front of me. Which form? Before he showed this universal form. Krishna has shown one form to Arjuna. Not the Krishna's form, but the form which was shown to him in the four-handed form. Arjuna, Krishna's four-handed form, which conch shell, disc, lotus flower and the club in the hand. That is what he is talking about. You will see that in the 46th verse. Kiridinam gadinam chakrahastam. Ichami tvam drishtumaham tathaivam. Teneiva rupena chadurbhujena. Sahasra baho bhava vishyamurte. Kiridinam gadinam chakranam cham. Sorry. Kiridinam gadinam chakrahastam. Ichami tvam drishtumaham tathaivam. Teneiva rupena chadurbhujena. Sahasra baho bhava vishwamurte. Kiridinam gadinam chakrahastam. Ichami tvam drishtumaham tathaivam. Teneiva rupena chadurbhujena. Sahasra baho bhava vishwamurte. O universal Lord, I wish to see you in your four-armed form, with helmeted head and with club, wheel, conch and lotus flower in your hands. I long to see you in that form. In that form. So now Krishna is standing there with thousands of arms, isn't it? With thousands of head, thousands of legs, everything. So, and thousands of heads also. And with all from that mouth, the long tongue is coming out, which is very fearful and frightening, and which is ready to swallow the whole world. Arjuna is saying to him, he got frightened. He wants to see Krishna in that conch shell, disc, lotus flower, the four-handed form of Krishna, which is the one which is used in the meditation of the yogis. That's why. On a spiritual level, that is the form mostly worshipped in the temples, Vishnu form. That conch shell disc, lotus flower, and so that is the Vishwamurti. I don't have, Krishna, Arjuna says to him, that I don't have the strength to witness this form of this universal form. Please come in front of me in this particular conchal disc lotus flower and wearing that yellow garment and Chaturbhujam, four-handed form, come and appear in front of me. Krishna, Arjuna says to Krishna. At that time, Krishna smiles. When Krishna saw that Arjuna has got really frightened, and when he started saying like this, like children, have you noticed children? Suppose you put sometimes, you know, in the children, what they do? They put these masks and frighten each other, isn't it? So, Halloween time. So they frighten each other, isn't it? Children put this mask and come. Sometimes adults also frighten the children, put the masks on. So when the children get frightened, they tell you to remove the mask. Take it off, isn't it? Take it off, they say, when they get frightened. So you take it off and they see you in your normal appearance, they are pacified. Similarly, when this universal form came to Arjuna in that way, and he got frightened, and Arjuna is saying, please take it away. And that time, like an adult, Krishna is smiling and taking it off, that universal form. That is the next verse. I says to him, Maya prasannena Shri Bhagavanu vacham. Maya prasannena tavarjunedam. Rupam varam darshidam atmayogad. Tejomayam vishwamanantamadhyam. Yanme tvadanyena nadrishtapurvam. Shri Bhagavan uvacham. Maya prasannena tavarjunedam. Rupam varam darshidam atmayogad. Tad tejomayam vishwamanantaru adhyam. Yanme tvadanyena nadrishtapurvam. Shri Bhagavan vacha. Maya prasannena tavarjunedam. Rupam varam darshinam atmayogad. Tejomayam vishwam anandam adhyam. Yanme tvadanyena nadrishtapurvam. Translation. Blessed Lord said, my dear Arjuna, happily do I show you this universal form within the material world by my internal potency. No one before you has ever seen this unlimited and glaringly effulgent form. So, because Krishna is saying here, Maya prasannena tavarjunedam, because I am pleased with you as a devotee, I am pleased with you, therefore, I have shown you this form, Atma Yoga. Atma Yoga means, what does Atma Yoga means? Atma Yoga means Maya. Atma Yoga means Maya. It is Maya. Because with the Maya's help, only Krishna has done this. Using Maya. Maya is Krishna's control, isn't it? So using Maya, Atma Yoga, by my, it is internal potency, it's mentioned there. To understand that internal potency, just to understand it's Maya, that's enough. It's Maya that is doing this. Using the Maya, Krishna has put Arjuna in that situation. Krishna's potency of Maya. Tejomayam Vishwam Ananda Madhyam. So, Tejomayam, it's very effulgent and it is spread all over the creation. And that form here shown. No one else has seen this. In other words, what Krishna is saying is, only one who is in the state of consciousness like Arjuna can see this form. That's what it means. Not that nobody else has seen, and Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra has also seen. What Krishna means by that, Tejomayam Vishwam Ananda Rupam, Yanme Tvadanyena Drishtapurvam. What it's saying is that only if you are in the same consciousness like Arjuna, who has surrendered like the way Arjuna has surrendered, that and only then one can, only in that state, one can see Krishna like that. So many people have desired to see Krishna in that way. That is what in the next verse also you will see that Tadanyena means not only Arjuna. That's what it means. What is the reason? That is what Krishna is going to say now in the next verse. So, Naveda Yajnyardhe Nirnadaneir. Naveda నచక్రయాభిర్నతపోభిరుగ్రై ఏవం రూపం శక్యమహం నృలోకే దృష్టం తదన్యేన కురు ప్రవీరా న వేదయజ్ఞార్థేన దానేర్ న చక్రయాభిర్న తపోభిరుగ్రై ఏవం రూప శక్యమహం నృలోకే దృష్టం తదన్యేన కురు ప్రవీరా న వేదయజ్ఞార్థేన న దానేర్ న చక్రయాభిర్న తపోభిర్ ఉగ్రై ఏవం రూప శక్య అహం నృలోకే ద్రష్టుం తదన్యేన కురు ప్రవీర ఓ బెస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ది కురు వారియర్స్ నో వన్ బిఫోర్ యూ హ్యాస్ ఎవర్ సీన్ దిస్ యూనివర్సల్ ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ మైండ్ ఫార్ నైదర్ బై స్టడీయింగ్ ద వేదస్ నార్ బై పర్ఫార్మింగ్ సాక్రిఫైసెస్ నార్ బై చారిటీ ఆర్ సిమిలర్ యాక్టివిటీస్ క్యాన్ దిస్ ఫార్మ్ బి సీన్ ఓన్లీ యూ హ్యావ్ సీన్ దిస్ సో ఆఫ్టర్ సేయింగ్ దిస్ హీ సేస్ దేర్ that it is not possible to see this form unless Krishna says unless you have bhakti unless you have bhakti Krishna says through bhakti one has bhakti towards Krishna it can one who has got bhakti he can see you will see that later Krishna says only through bhakti you can see Krishna in that form if you look into verse 54 that is what Krishna is concluding the verse bhaktya tu ananyaya shaktya ahameva vidharjana యాదం ద్రష్టం చ తత్వేన ప్రవేష్టం చ పరంతవ 54th verse the one last but one verse of this chapter భక్త్యా త్వ అనన్యయా శక్య అహమేవం విధోర్జున this form what is manifested if you want to say it only through bhakti you can see this భక్త్యా త్వ అనన్యయా శక్య అహమేవం విధోర్జున యాదం ద్రష్టం ద తత్వేన కృష్ణ will say that later so there is no partiality here He is saying here that he has got some partiality towards Arjuna because this form which he has manifested, kalam, time personified form, this universal form, it cannot be seen by studying Vedam. It cannot be seen by performing sacrifices or by charity or by other religious activity or by any other kind of karma. Any other kind of karma. Because And by seeing this, you don't have to get even frightened either. That's the Krishna's point. You don't have to get even frightened. So, that's why Krishna is saying in the next verse, if you look, what Krishna says there, this is slowly Krishna is taking into the Bhakti Yoga. That's the next chapter, isn't it? So, this is a kind of introduction to that chapter from now on. Everything. That universal form Krishna showed to Arjuna and says to Arjuna, భక్త్యాత్వ అన్యమయ శక్య అహమేవం విధోర్జున యూ వోంట్ సీ మీ అన్లెస్ యూ హ్యావ్ భక్తి ఇన్ దిస్ ఫార్మ్ ఐ విల్ నాట్ మేనిఫెస్ట్ ఇన్ ఫ్రంట్ ఆఫ్ యూ సో ఇసైసియా దిస్ ఫార్మ్ ఈజ్ నాట్ పర్టిక్యులర్లీ వెరీ ఫ్యాసినేటింగ్ దిస్ యూనివర్సల్ ఫార్మ్ వై మయే మా దేవ్య దామాజ విమూఢ భావో దృష్ట్వా రూపం ఘోరమీద్రం మమేదం వ్యభేదవి ప్రీతమానా పునస్త్వం తదేవ మే రూపమిదం ప్రపశ్యా మా దేవ్యధామా చ విమూఢ భావో దృష్ట్వా రూపం ఘోరమీద్రం మమేదం వ్యభేదవి ప్రీతమానా పునస్త్వం తదేవ మే రూపమిదం ప్రపశ్యా మా దేవ్యదామా చ విమూఢ భావో దృష్ట్వా రూపం ఘోరమీదం మమేదం విభేదవి ప్రీతమనా పునస్త్వం తదేవ మే రూపమిదం ప్రపశ్యా యువర్ మైండ్ కృష్ణ ఇస్ సేయింగ్ యువర్ మైండ్ హెస్ బీన్ డిస్టర్బ్డ్ అపాన్ సీయింగ్ దిస్ హారిబుల్ ఫీచర్ ఆఫ్ మైండ్ దిస్ యూనివర్సల్ ఫార్మ్ నౌ లెట్ ఇట్ బి ఫినిష్డ్ మై డివోటీ బి ఫ్రీ ఫ్రమ్ ఆల్ డిస్టర్బెన్స్ With a peaceful mind, you can now see the form you desire. That is how Krishna pull back that form. He says here, I'll show you that form which is free to see without any fear. Remove all your fear from inside. Don't get frightened. And I'll take away this frightening form and that peaceful form. I'll come and stand in front of you. And now Krishna is in a very peaceful, say, peaceful way. Krishna is addressing Arjuna. And I'm going to stand like that. And Arjuna has asked for a Chaturbhuja, four-handed form. But Krishna has come in the two-handed form. Krishna has come back to the two-handed form. So, here, earlier, we have seen that Krishna has told Arjuna, Nimitta Matram Bhava Savyasachin. If you remember that, before we conclude this chapter, there are a few things to remember. Krishna says to Arjuna, Nimitta Matram Bhava Savyasachin. It is one of the most important words in this chapter. Nimitta Matram Bhava Savyasachin. In other words, Arjuna is only a Nimittam. Only nothing but a Nimittam. Nimittam means he is only a cause. It's only a cause. In other words, you are just like a machine in my hands. That's what Arjuna, Krishna is saying to Arjuna. Not only in fighting the war, Arjuna is also another Nimittam in getting us Bhagavad Gita. Isn't it? He's also a Nimittam for that. Arjuna gave us, the grandfather Arjuna, he gave us Bhagavad Gita. And the grandson Parikshit, he gave us Srimad Bhagavatam. So we owe a lot to that family, isn't it? To the Pandavas. We owe them a lot because they got this Bhagavad Gita and they got a Srimad Bhagavatam also. So keeping Arjuna as a Nimittam. What's the exact word for Nimittam in English?
Instrument.
Instrument. I think that is the closest word, Nimittam. Instrument. But if you ask me, what is the word in Sanskrit for instrument? It's not Nimittam. That's the problem. Nimittam is a very spiritual word. But Nimittam means, I don't know what is mentioned here. It's an instrument that's mentioned?
In the Bhagavad Gita, just cause.
Cause. So, whatever, you know what I'm saying, Nimittam. Nimittam is the word. Nimittam atram bhava savyasajim. So, Arjuna Nimitti Kritya Loganugraham Chikishta Bhagavan Vasudevaha. Ajarya Swamiji's Bhashyam is like that. Arjuna Nimitti Kritya. Keeping Arjuna as a Nimittam. Nimittam means just a cause or just a, what do you say, an instrument or whichever way you want to put it, you know what I am saying. Keeping Arjuna as simply as a cause or a, somebody has to be there for that, he has put Arjuna there. That's all it means. Keeping Arjuna, Arjuna Nimitti Kritya Loganugrahartha, to bless this world, Chikirshuva Bhagavan Vasudevaha. Krishna Vasudeva has spoken Bhagavad Gita to this world. In other words, only for the benefit of this world Bhagavad Gita was spoken. We should not think that it was spoken for Arjuna's benefit. It was for our benefit. And if we don't utilize it, we are stupid. We are fools. If you don't take advantage of this Bhagavad Gita, that's what it means. Bhagavan Loganugrahatam. Arjuna Nimitti Kritya. Arjuna was just only a cause there. Somebody has to be there. If it was Arjuna, it can be Yudhishthira, it can be somebody else. It doesn't matter. But important point here is, Arjuna Nimitti Kritya Loganugraha Chigirshaha. The goal, Krishna's goal was, let this knowledge stay in this world. Let this knowledge, if Krishna hasn't given this Bhagavad Gita, where else are we going to get it from? Nobody else can give it the way Krishna has given this. How, that is how precious this Bhagavad Gita is. Loganugraha Chigirshaha Bhagavan Vasudevaha. Krishna is feeling some compassion for all of us. Many, many generations will come afterwards. He knows. Let them take advantage of this spiritual knowledge. Because this knowledge is not from this world. It's come from the transcendental abode, from Krishna's world. When under the influence of Maya, this knowledge cannot manifest in this world. Under the influence of Maya. Unless it has been spoken by a supreme truth, Krishna himself, in this way. So, only to bless this world, keeping Arjuna as a cause, Krishna has spoken this Brahmavidya. Brahmavidya means the knowledge of the Brahman, knowledge of the soul, or Atma Tattvam, whichever way you call it. It's a different words used, that's all. And this is the treatment for Arjuna's illusion, isn't it? Arjuna had the problem, his illusion, moham, isn't it? That moham and the treatment for that ignorance is this. And this is the same treatment we all need as well in our life. The same treatment we need. We also are equally bad patients like Arjuna, even worse than Arjuna. So we need the same treatment. Then that is why moham, ajnanam, all the distress what we experience in this world, that's one great thing we are fighting against, isn't it? The distress in this world. Every moment in life, we are looking for happiness. In other words, you can say you are fighting against the distress. It's the same one and the same thing. This tendency in us, always to escape from distress, is very strong in everybody. That's why all the time we are looking for happiness. Why? Because we want to escape from distress. We don't want distress. Nobody wants distress. That's what Krishna is saying here. If you remember, in the earlier he says, jnanenam tadajnanam ajnanenavrutam jnanam tena mukhyanti jantava. Remember that verse? Earlier, I think it is in the 4th or 5th chapter. You will see that verse. Few things Krishna spoke there. Ajnanenavrutam jnanam tena mukhyanti jantava, he says. Our whole problem is ajnanam. That is why we are suffering. Not due to anything else. That's what he says here. Ajnanenavrutam jnanam tena mukhyanti jantava. If you look at that verse, jnanenavrutam jnanam, 515. If you look into the verse 515, Krishna clearly defines what our problem is. Our suffering is, we don't want to escape from the suffering. We want to escape from the suffering. And Krishna is saying here, nādatte kashyachil pāpam na caiva sukṛtam vibhu ajñānenāvṛtam jñānam tena mukhyanti jandavāha. That jñānam, the knowledge is already inside us. It's not that it's not there. All of us have got the knowledge of us, what we are. But it is covered with ajñānam, covered with ignorance. Covered with ignorance. Nādatte kashyachil pāpam na caiva sukṛtam vibhu. Those verses are very important verses. Why? Because we have some concept of this world in a particular way, conditioned by the society or whatever. But some truth Krishna is saying here, nādate kashyachil pāpam na caiva sukṛtam vibhu. In the spiritual level, on a spiritual platform, as spirit soul, you don't perform any pāpam or punyam. There is no sukṛtam, the pious activity or sinful activity. When you say this, it's a shock to many people, isn't it? One person asked me also, he says that if you say like this, there is no sinful activity, pious activity. They'll say, Krishna has said like this and he'll go and kill someone, he says. And then he says, oh, Krishna is saying like this, there is no pious activity, there is no sinful activity. If you tell the police that, they won't accept that. They will lock you up inside. But we have to know in what level, from what position Krishna is speaking this. Krishna is speaking from the spiritually realized state. If you are realized, there is no papam, there is no punyam. Papam and punyam is in the conditioned state. Nādate kashyachil papam na caiva sukṛtam vibhu. That's why he says in the very next line, ajñānenāvṛtam jñānam. Knowledge is already there, but it is covered by ignorance. Ajñānenāvṛtam jñānam tena mukhyanti jantava, he says, isn't it? Tena mukhyanti jantava. And as long as we are covered like that, we are jandu, animals we are. That means so long as we are not realized the self, self-realization doesn't happen, we are not much different than the animals. That's the point Krishna is making there. And immediately after that, Krishna said something else in that verse, isn't it? In that fifth chapter, you will see the next one. Jnanenadu tad ajnanam yesham nashidam atmana tesham adityaval jnanam prakashayati talparam. That means when, however, one is enlightened with the knowledge by which nescience is destroyed, then his knowledge reveals everything as the sun lights up everything in the daytime. So, knowledge is stressing again. Krishna is mentioning that. Once this adityasham adityaval jnanam prakashayati talparam. And that adityan, the sun, is inside all of us. Only due to ignorance, it's covered. It is not something that's going to come from outside. It's already there in every one of us. The soul is there. The soul is there. This knowledge is also there. But due to our conditioning and ignorance, it's covered by this ajnanam. Prakashyati talparam. So when our identity as spirit soul, when it is covered by ajnanam or ignorance, we experience distress in this world. That's when we experience distress and delusion. and illusion, whatever that is. What is that ajnanam? Ignorance. What is that ajnanam? Not knowing what we are. That is our ajnanam in us. We don't know what we are. Like Sanatana Goswami said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I don't know who I am, he says. People are saying so many things, and I am thinking I am very learned. But the fundamental thing is that I am an ajnani, I am an ignorant person. So, till we ask this question, we are not even into spiritual life. Now, how are we doing? Oh, I know everything. I've read everything. I know everything. But we won't ask this question, what Krishna is saying there. That not knowing yourself itself is the ignorance. Not knowing oneself. So, that means, what does it? Krishna is not trying to bully us in any way. What he is saying is, this is the real situation, that you have identified with things what you are not, means the body, the mind, the intelligence and everything. You know everything, that you are that. But at the same time, what is your real identity, who you are, that or your identity is that you don't know, and you are not conscious of that either. So here you can see, one is asata, which is jadam. Mind, body, intelligence, ego, senses, everything is jadam, asata. It is mixed with sata inside the soul. These two things are mixed up completely. Isn't it? These two things are completely mixed up together. And this is called ajnanam. This is called ajnanam or ignorance. And once you have learned how to separate jnanam, how to separate the sat from the asat, how to separate the soul from the jadam, how to separate the Atma, Chaitanyam from jadam, that is known as jnanam. That is what Krishna calls it as jnanam. So, he says here that once you start experiencing, after separating the two, that means the body, the mind, intelligence, ego, everything, asat, separate, the soul which is sat, separate. If you learn to separate it out, so then, what I am saying, Krishna is saying here, and if you simply hold on to that state, that is sufficient. That is sufficient. That means, in our constitution or this existence in this form, awareness or avabodham or chaitanyam or this knowledge of awareness of my own existence, that's on one side. On the other side, the material body, the mind, the intelligence, the ego, the senses, everything, another group. If you have managed to separate this out, these two groups, and if you are able to stay in that state of the awareness, or state of awareness, or abhodam, or chaitanyam, then you have continuously staying in that platform, Krishna calls that as realized state. And that is what is known Atmavidya or Brahmavidya. Spiritual knowledge. All this is nothing but it is this in principle. If everybody may not be able to do it, if one person manages to do it, he will escape. That is the Krishna's words about that. Upanishads are saying here that Upanishad says, to hear about this Atmavidya is a great thing. You remember that verse in the Kathopanishad? Shravanayabhi bahubir tena labhyaha, he says. In the millions and millions of human bodies in this world, very, very few people get to know about it. Get to know about the thing called the soul. There is a verse like that, isn't it? Shravanayabhi bahubir tena labhyaha. Out of the millions who are hearing about, who have heard about this thing called soul, is very rare. What to talk about separating it from the other things. So I think I'll stop there. We'll continue next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.